the critical vote at 1 o'clock this morning.
We're not going to vote fears. We're going to vote hope.
Senator Tom Harkin and the rest of the Democrats beat back the filibuster, clearing the way for passage of a bill Senate Leader Harry Reid says will finally make health care a right.
Good health should not depend on how much money you have.
It was a setback for Republicans like John McCain, who've spent months trying to derail President Obama's plan.
All of us on this side of the aisle will stand up for the American people, and we have just begun to fight.
But Republicans are pretty well out of this fight now as it moves to the next stage. Here's CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson.
Assuming the Senate passes the bill on Christmas Eve, the House and Senate bills will then have to be merged into one in January, then another vote on the final version. Fundamental differences have to be worked out. The House bill has a public option. The Senate doesn't. The House bill has stricter language against funding for abortion. And to pay for the cost, the House taxes millionaires. The Senate taxes high-end private health plans. Democrat Ken Conrad foreshadowed the difficulty factor and said the House will just have to go along with the Senate's version.
Any bill is going to have to be very close to what the Senate has passed because we're still going to have to get 60 votes.
Cheryl Atkinson, CBS News, Washington.
It's the first workday after the blizzard that pummeled the east over the weekend, and it is not likely to be an easy commute for tens of millions of people. The huge storm knocked out power and snarled travel on roads, rails, and at the airports. CBS News correspondent Bianca Solorzano reports from New York.
1,200 flights were canceled at New York City's three major airports, leaving people hoping to get out today. The line here at LaGuardia, much longer than usual. We spoke with some passengers. Only a few had managed to rebook.
The next available booking would be Thursday.
Come on.
Which is Christmas Eve.
And others are finding that space is severely limited.
Everything's been booked full for months, so that means there aren't any excess seats out there.
I'm Jim Crisula. The massive East Coast snowstorm has left tens of thousands without power in North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, and West Virginia.
It's warmer in my car than it is in my house right now.
Thomas Latham isn't happy, stuck without heat and electricity in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Stop knocking on doors here, you're going to find a dead body. Probably an old person in the 80s and 90s that will be frozen to death.
It could be the middle of the week before all of the power is back on.
Well, the loss at the big box stores was a gain for e-tailers. The shoppers who wouldn't brave the weather over the weekend to get out did more of their holiday buying online. Retail analyst Bert Flickinger.
It was a business bonanza for cyber shopping. We're estimating that the smaller to intermediate Internet retailers had traffic that was up over 100% for Saturday and Sunday.
And with time running out until Christmas, UPS drivers will be hopping today.
Today is our busiest delivery day of the year, and we project that UPS is going to be delivering 22 million packages today.
That's UPS spokesman Michael French. If you're doing the calculations, it works out to more than 250 deliveries every second. Major Christmas week headaches for rail travelers between Britain and the continent. CBS News reporter Larry Miller has that story from London.
No Eurostar Channel Tunnel trains again for the third day in a row.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Colorado listens, debates, and argues on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. You also get perspective from David Sirota, Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, Mario Solis Marich, Randy Rhodes, and a host of others. AM 760 is here for the community, and the community shows up here every day. If this was your ad, we'd be listening to it right now. Why not advertise on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk? Go to AM760.net, keyword advertise. Colorado listens, debates, and argues on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. You also get perspective from David Sirota, Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, Mario Solis Marich, Randy Rhodes, and a host of others. AM 760 is here for the community, and the community shows up here every day. If this was your ad, we'd be listening to it right now. Why not advertise on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk? Go to am760.net, keyword advertise.
iPhone or BlackBerry. Details on am760.net.
I know that sludge for brains like Bill Press,
you are a Nazi and a Stalinist.
We have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When you're responsible for reading the news to a city of millions, you need a gentle touch.
As for your greasy mouth self, that might help if you stopped eating all them fries you eat, making you look 6 months pregnant.
One of the top most listened to radio shows.
That voice of yours could be an attraction at a circus.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
All right, stop dreaming of a white Christmas. You've got one. Yes, indeed, after this weekend, all of us on the East Coast have one, that's for sure. And here in Washington, D.C., we've got a good 17 inches of that white stuff still around. Hey, hello, everybody, and a happy Monday, big Monday, December 21 here, 2009, closing in on Christmas. Good to be with you today, and thank you for joining us as we come to you live, the Bill Press Show, live coast to coast from our little radio studio here in Capitol, D.C., in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And just down the street from the Capitol building where the Senate has been in session all night. The light was on top of the Capitol when we went to bed last night, and it was still on when we got up early this morning trying to finish their work on health care reform. President Obama down at the White House back from Copenhagen. They brought him back early because of the snowstorm. Brought him back early Friday night, and he spent a quiet couple of days at the White House keeping his eye on what was happening at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue. We've got it all covered for you today. 866-55-PRESS is our toll-free number. Would love to have your votes and your calls this hour, 866-55-77-377. With a big question facing Democrats is, it's an imperfect bill, but is it better to pass it and fix it or kill it and start all over again? 866-55-77-377. On the website today, BillPressShow.com. A couple of photos I brought back from some unusual creatures seen on the streets of New York as I literally just was walking back to my hotel from the radio station radio show Thursday morning. There you go. Right at Rockefeller Center, part of the Christmas pageant. Out for a little air in between shows. You'll see there the photos up on the website, BillPressShow.com, as well as a photo of the picnic table in our backyard on our patio, just to show you how much snow we had here in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. So much snow that I was afraid Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning would be, still lost in a snowbank somewhere today.
Well, I woke up this morning listening to the radio, listening to all the closings and cancellations, and I didn't hear Bill Press Show on there, so yeah. I figured I should try and make it in.
We had a show on tape just in case.
Yeah.
Didn't know how bad the snow would be.
We put our asses on the line to come in here.
We did
today,
indeed.
Bill.
Yes. Thank you, and I appreciate that. But I did too, my long commute here from a block and a half
away. Your ice skates were on when you came in.
Almost, neither of them. Yeah. This is a hell of a big snowstorm. Started Friday night and all the way through, was still snowing when we went to bed Saturday night. Had not stopped at all. I haven't seen snow like that in a long time.
It got busy, man. It straight up got busy.
And today, federal government is shut down.
Shocker.
And the shocker. And the schools are closed, and the subway is still not working except underground. But I went last night, was going to go out to a little party, and I went to the metro, got down in the station. I waited 45 minutes. No train had come.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just said, you know what? I ain't waiting no more.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and left, so.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Jesus. Service, needless to say, a little slow. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you, I was up in New York
Had a good time. Nice to join you from New York City on Thursday morning and Thursday evening. Carol and I were able to go to the theater to see Memphis, which is called, and I believe is, the best show on Broadway. It's all the story about the birth of rock and roll down in Memphis, Tennessee. Here's a little clip here. Fabulous musical. And you know what's fun about it? It's all about the birth of rock and roll on talk radio. On radio. And yeah. It's Adam Calhoun, Larry Calhoun. I forget now. But anyway, a real guy, you know, who brought rock and roll to radio when everybody was saying, nobody will listen to that, nobody will listen to that. Mm-hmm. And he put it on and became number one DJ in Memphis. And then did a television audition, and it came down to him or a guy named Richard Clark. Guess who ended up winning that battle? Got the TV show. Yeah.
Wow.
Dick Clark.
I'm an uncultured swine, and typically I don't hear about these types of things, but I actually heard really good things about this.
About
this
Memphis?
Musical. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're anywhere, I got to tell you, if you're anywhere near New York or going to be there or can get there in the next couple of months or so, Memphis is going to be around for a long time, and you got to see it. It's a great, great show. We're going to be talking healthcare reform, particularly the tax on insurance plans that's still in the Senate bill, with Mike Sullivan, president of the Sheet Metal Workers Union, coming up about 20 minutes from now here on the show. And we'll take a look at this morning's big vote. But first,
this is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news. The NFL is partnering with critics of the league's stance on concussions. The league is now encouraging its players to donate their brains to Boston University for research to look at head trauma and injuries related to the game. The NFL is also donating $1 million to the project.
Luckily, they didn't ask.
Wait a minute. This is players who die?
Once they die, yes. Donate your brain to research.
Luckily, they didn't ask NFL head coaches for their brains because they couldn't find one on Jim Zorn. For sure.
Maybe you went to the mall this weekend, got your kid a photo.
How would you get there?
Yeah, really.
Got your kid to have a photo with Santa. Those Santa Clauses in the malls, they put up a lot of abuse each holiday season. A new survey out finds just how much. 3 in 4 of them have 10 kids cry on their lap each day. Over 60% of mall Santas get sneezed or coughed on up to 10 times a day. 90% of them get their beards tugged on to see if they're real.
Of course.
And 34% have been wet on by a child.
How many have been thrown up on?
Yeah.
You know what? There's a job I would not want.
No way.
No way. I'd rather get an unemployment check.
And Bill, no winner in Saturday night's drawing for the Powerball lottery. That means this Wednesday night's drawing valued at $106 million.
Triple digits, Bill.
Yeah. I'm there. That's so funny. I was walking through the market on Saturday, and I saw a guy buying a lotto ticket, Powerball ticket, and I thought, but then I didn't know how much it was, so I didn't buy one.
$106 million for Wednesday night. Your chance of winning, 1 in 195 million people.
In time for Christmas.
Remind me tomorrow, because the market's not open today. I need to buy one tomorrow.
Absolutely. Right.
Yep. Merry Christmas. I'm going to win the lottery. All right. I'm dreaming of a green Christmas.
All you need is a dollar and a dream.
That's it. I got the dream. Yeah. I got the dollar. The jackpot. All right, we hit the jackpot this morning. Harry Reid hit the jackpot on Friday, it was, when Ben Nelson, having squeezed all the juice he could out of that lemon, he went in front of reporters and gave the magic words.
Change is never easy, but change is what's necessary in America today, and that's why I intend to vote for cloture and vote for health care reform.
Yeah, he had a Redskins jersey on with the number 60 on the back of it. He made number 60 for Harry Reid's team, which led to, at 1 a.m. this morning, about 7 hours ago, here down the street, they took their first big procedural vote on Senate health care reform. Here's the call.
The yeas are 60. The nays are 40.
And it passes, which means that there will be a bill out of the Senate, which is a historic moment. We're not bragging about the bill. We're not happy with the bill. Certainly not a perfect bill, not a very good bill, but it will pass the Senate. They've got the 60 votes they need. It would pass today, or would have passed yesterday, except the Republicans are throwing all these roadblocks in and forcing the Democrats to jump through every possible procedural hurdle, which means that the final vote won't come. There's one more vote, and then the final vote, and that won't come, the final one, until scheduled now for 7 p.m. Christmas Eve. Now, it's very interesting that the way things are shaping down on this, because, you know, we've talked about this bill and pointed out how worthless it is now that they've taken the public plan option out of it, and as well as the expansion of Medicare. But there are a lot of important voices on the left who have come out and said, look, it may not be perfect, but we've still got to get it through. In fact, Tom Harkin, and we follow him almost anywhere on any topic, Tom Harkin says the American people need this.
They want to have the peace of mind and security of knowing that their children, if they have a pre-existing condition, will be covered by health insurance. They want to have the peace of mind and knowing if they lose a job, they don't lose their health insurance.
And listen to this. Yesterday, in the New York Times, Vice President Biden, op-ed piece, quote, if I were still a United States senator, I would not only vote yes on the current health care reform bill, I would do so with the sure knowledge that I was casting one of the most historic votes of my 36 years in the Senate. Yesterday, Washington Post, Vicky Kennedy, Teddy's widow, I humbly ask his colleagues to finish the work of his life, to allow the vote to go forward and to pass health care reform now. And this morning, in the New York Times, Paul Krugman, our good friend, Nobel Prize-winning economist, who has been extremely unhappy with the pace of this legislation and the content of it, and particularly about the loss of the public plan option. But Paul Krugman says, count me among those who consider this an awesome achievement. It is a seriously flawed bill. We'll spend years, if not decades, fixing it, but it's nonetheless a huge step forward. And in addition, the liberal voice that we have probably followed most closely on this show, Howard Dean. Howard Dean, who was with us last week, remember, first he said he was for the bill because we should vote for it because of the Medicare expansion of Medicare. Last week he joined us, Thursday, right? Just Thursday, and said, no. We should vote against this because Medicare is out of it now. And on Sunday on Meet the Press, he's now saying, no, let's vote for it, at least to keep it alive and keep moving it forward.
I would certainly not vote for this bill if this were the final product, but there are the House bill is quite a good bill. This bill has improved over the last couple of weeks. I would let this thing go to conference committee and let's see if we can fix it some more.
So the Democrats seem to be lining up. Either they've got what they want and they'll vote for it, or they know it's not perfect, but they know it's something that we can build on and work on, even good liberals like Tom Harkin and Howard Dean. On the other side, the Republicans, they've dug in their heels. The party of no is proving that's exactly who they are, and they are fighting and trying to kill this down to the very end, and again, using every procedural step possible to drag this out and stall it and delay it, the inevitable, as long as they can. Here's Mitch McConnell.
Mark my words, this legislation will reshape our nation. And Americans have already issued their verdict. They don't want it.
And I got to tell you, if I were a Democrat in the Senate, I would be all lined up to vote no on this legislation. There's only one thing that could make me vote yes, and that is listening to Mitch McConnell. Listening to this, any of these Republicans. John Cornyn, John Kyle, John McCain, Olympia Snowe, who put out a statement saying she couldn't vote for this, Lamar Alexander. They are totally in the pockets of the insurance companies. They are totally against any reform. They're totally for the status quo, and they just want to kill anything that would give Barack Obama or the American people something that they need and have been fighting for a long time. Anything that would make me vote yes on this legislation, it's listening to Lindsey Graham, whiner from South Carolina.
We're not going to put the whole nation at risk.
No.
And take a broken system and make it worse just to get a vote. No way in hell.
That's why I got to tell you, today I'm telling you, I would vote yes today just because I don't want to be a party of anything that Mitch McConnell has to do with. 866-55-PRESS, where are you on this today? I'm with Howard Dean, I guess.
The Bill Press Show continues.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
AM760.net.
Now,
today, it's so important. How can you tell if you or someone in your family has come down with the flu? Early symptoms to look for include body aches and fever. What medicine should you take to relieve these symptoms? The fact is, Advil not only relieves the body aches and pains that can come with the flu, it also reduces fever fast. Next time you get the flu, trust Advil. Get more flu facts at Advil.com. Relief doesn't get any better than this. Advil.
Use as directed.
Did you know that last year smoking-related diseases killed 1 in 10 adults globally and nearly 500,000 people in the United States alone? How many times have you tried to quit smoking only to start back up again? How would you like to try an electronic smoking device for free that looks and tastes just like the real thing? Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Sandor for Smoke Assist, the revolutionary electronic smoking device that really satisfies. No tobacco, no smell, no tar, no stained teeth, no smelly clothes, and no more guilt. Live a healthy lifestyle for you and your loved ones. Now you can get Smoke Assist, $130 value for free. Improve your life today and be healthy. I'm so confident that Smoke Assist will work for you that I'm going to give it to you for free.
Get Smoke Assist right now for free. Call 800-734-4186. Get one for you or a friend, 800-734-4186. Limited free offer, so call now, 800-734-4186. That's 800-734-4186.
Kevin Richards is concerned about sending his identity out into the world.
Hey, Gav. You know how you're always going on how I can't protect myself?
Oh, no.
I'm taking karate.
No, you're just a bundle of numbers and personal data.
Who can handle himself? Hi-ya!
Wondering where your identity goes? Get Identity Guard. We scan everything from credit bureaus to public records, so you know what's going on. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Visit IdentityGuard.com. That's IdentityGuard.com.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snow plow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind the plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net. This is the Bill Press Show.
Here we're going to take a look at an aspect of this health care legislation nobody's talking about, and that is the tax on insurance plans, so-called Cadillac plans. Talk about that with Mike Sullivan, president of the Sheet Metal Workers Union, coming up next. But right now, tough choice for Democrats. Do you vote for this bill in order to send it in conference and try to improve it, or do you vote against it to kill it and start all over again? Tim's down in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Tim. What do you say, Tim?
Here's my point.
Yeah.
My point is that I am ticked off about my congressmen and my senators. This doesn't have anything to do with Barack Obama. Our congressmen and senators have sold us out. You know, they backed down to the teabaggers. They got, you know, fear in their hearts instead of what we voted for. There's nothing that Barack Obama can do to them. I mean, he's pulled them. He's talked to them. He's trying to even make deals with them. And here's a deal we get with Ben Nelson that we pay him $45 million and Nebraska gets away with armed robbery, you know, just to get his vote.
We don't pay him $45 million, but no, he made a deal and so did Blanche Lincoln. And you're right. And you ought to be disappointed with the lack of leadership you're seeing from Blanche Lincoln. Pat's in Beloit, Wisconsin. What do you say, Pat?
Well, you know what? First of all, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Nice to hear from you.
And two points. One, I'd follow Russ Feingold to the end of the earth because he stood up against the Patriots
right.
and nobody else would.
Right.
So he voted for it. I'm going to follow him, even though I don't like it. And last but not least, shout out and God bless Senator Byrd. How they got him there in the weather for that vote.
I don't know.
God bless him.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. And by the way, yeah, you know, when you got Russ Feingold and Tom Harkin who vote for this and Bernie Sanders who votes for it, they're not all wrong about, they're right about almost everything. And I agree with you, Pat. They're good bellwethers. Marvin from Stockton, California. Hey, Marvin.
Hi, how you doing?
Look all right.
It's a poker game. Barack Obama is playing a poker game. Look at here. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama went in the White House with the same card. Bill Clinton went in there with a big stick, beating him over the top of the head. Look what he got. Nothing. Let the man play his game. He's going to get what we want. We voted for him. Give him a chance. That's all I'm asking you all. The Democrats are talking about they're going to come out and vote. Guess what? You're going to get the Republicans back up in there again.
I got you, Marvin. I got you. Yeah, you know, all the people that threaten about the fact that in 2010 they're not going to vote for Obama for re-election. Come on, get serious. Who are you going to vote for? Sarah Palin? I mean, come on. No. But at the same time, we just got, I think, got to keep pushing, fighting to make this bill as strong as we can get it. It's not over yet. Mike Sullivan coming up next.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Want to know something cool about Geico and renter's insurance?
Do I?
Okay, well, let's say you buy some presents, but they get stolen.
Oh, mercy me.
Let me finish. Well, Geico can help with that, even if they're stolen from your car or right out of your hand.
My word.
Not done yet. And coverage is as little as $12 a month. You just kiss me.
I get excited.
Yeah, maybe a little.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com.
I'm Felix. I've been doing tattoos for over 15 years. I get people in here who ask me about removing a tattoo they don't want anymore. I've really had nothing to help. And then I discovered Wrecking Ball. It's an easy daily fading system. The darkest, deepest pigments, they easily fade without any discoloring, blemishing, or scarring the skin. Wrecking Ball is really the best thing for tattoo regret.
Call right now, 1-800-507-4221 for your in-home 60-day risk-free trial. That's 1-800-507-4221. That's 1-800-507-4221.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Traffic still moving along at a pretty good clip this morning. Nothing really going on the highways around town. Speeds still look like they're in the 50s. Do have a fuel spill accident, Airport Boulevard and 32nd Avenue. That's on the eastbound side of 32nd Ave. Also a crash northbound Wadsworth at I-70. Two lanes blocked there. Your forecast today, partly cloudy, windy but warm with highs in the upper 50s. Right now we're at 44 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Cheaper, better, faster. Denver International Airport has the most parking at the best prices for your travel needs. No coupons. Visit flydenver.com or call 303-DIA-PARK for more information.
Stop before you dig. If you're about ready to do a sewer repair or replacement, call Drain Solvers, part of the Tom Martino Troubleshooter Network. Show your bid. Drain Solvers are usually between $500 and $1,000 less than the competition. It's a screaming deal. Everything is done to code with a lifetime warranty on any repairs or replacements. Drain Solvers, 303-423-1000. 303-423-1000.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Cook. My name is... Hi, Mr. Taylor. I'm calling today. Mr. Hall, if I could just get a minute of your time.
Cold calling. If you're in sales or run a business, you know just how exhausting it can be to chase after new customers. But what if someone else could find them for you? Targeted leads based on your best customers. Now you can with Sales Genie, the leading provider of targeted sales leads. Tell us exactly who you want and we'll find them. To prove it, we'll help you find 100 new leads by industry, income, hobbies, whatever you're looking for. Yours for free. So you can keep cold calling or you can make the one call that will count.
Hi, Sales Genie. I'm calling about how to get 100 free leads.
Certainly. Let me get your name.
Call Sales Genie today to find out how to get 100 free targeted leads. 1-800-600-9721. That's 1-800-600-9721. 1-800-600-9721.
In so many parts of the world, HIV/AIDS is perpetuating the cycle of poverty. Why care?
My family was so scared they would catch the virus from me. They forced me from the house. But health workers educated them about HIV. Now I have medicines and I'm back at home raising my children.
Why care?
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Visit care.org.
Hear AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, on your iPhone or BlackBerry. Details on AM760.net. Is the Bill Press Show.
Happy Monday, Monday, December 21, 2009. It is the Bill Press Show. We are coming live to you coast to coast and brought to you today by the Sheet Metal Workers International Association. The good men and women of the Sheet Metal Workers Union giving a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. Find out more about their good work at their website, www.smwia.org. And proud to welcome to the program again the president of the Sheet Metal Workers Union, our good friend Mike Sullivan. Hey, Mike, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Hey, good to have you here. One of the aspects of the health care legislation that hasn't gotten as much attention as I think it should, I wanted to talk to you about, is that the Senate bill, as I understand it, in its present form, still includes a tax on the so-called Cadillac health insurance plans. Is that right?
That's my understanding, yes.
And so with that in it, Mike, where's your union and where are the unions on this legislation? You know, do you hold your nose and support it, or are you opposed to it?
Well, if it has taxation of benefits, as we said a long time ago, you know, we've been saying it from the beginning.
I know. Yeah.
Tax our members' benefits, we cannot support the legislation.
Why, first of all, maybe you can help our listeners understand, these Cadillac, so-called Cadillac insurance plans, why, if they're like they're worth $25,000 or something, who would pay the tax? Would the person who holds the plan pay the tax, or the insurance company that writes it?
Well, it's my understanding that it's a little bit of both. And but my concern is that no matter what, if it increases the cost, which it would do, then for our members, then we can't support it. And here's our problem, and I don't think they understand our problem. Our problem is that our members pay for every hour work. The employer pays, say, $5 an hour into health insurance or six or whatever it is in that particular area. And they pay that, but they also build a bank of hours so that when they're unemployed, their insurance continues.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up paying more, but they do it so that they can bank hours. And they bank those hours or that money so that when they're unemployed, then it comes out of their banked hours to keep them insured so they lose no insurance. And a lot of plans bank up to 6 months, even more, but most of them bank at least 6 months for an individual so that he can so that they can have insurance. So, and this whole taxation thing, what most people don't realize is we're already paying 30% more for the uninsured in our premium. And so they're going to, you know, we've been paying 30% more. They think, well, that's going to drop off. Well, that's not going to go away right away, and they're going to increase our benefits by our benefits by a substantial amount.
And the other thing, Mike, it seems to me, if people don't understand that, so some union workers have these plans, right? But these are plans that they have fought hard for and worked hard for, and in many cases have accepted a good health plan for them and their families as opposed to an increase in salary, correct?
That's correct. When we negotiate total package. And what that total package is composed of a lot of things, including in the construction industry, educational benefits, pension benefits, and health benefits.
So why is it, I mean, I know, because I'm close to so many of the union leaders like yourself, I know that the tremendous amount of work and funding that went into electing President Obama and the Democrats in the Senate and the Democrats in the House. Now, here they are with health care reform legislation. You know, why are they sticking it to the unions in this bill?
Well, I really don't. I think that it comes down to this, wanting to get a bipartisan bill and trying to bring the Republicans on board.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
No, it didn't work at all. And in fact, they should have given up on that idea some time back, because it was pretty obvious from the beginning, or at least it was to some of us, that it was never going to happen. They are the voice of no. They don't really think much about what the outcome is going to be. Just they're opposed, and there's not going to be any agreement. So I think that that's probably the reason why it is in there, and some of the things that are in there, they were trying to get Republican support.
Mike Sullivan, the president of the Sheet Metal Workers Union, our guest here on the Bill Press Show. Mike, now the question is, and it's a tough one for these Democrats in the Senate, as to whether to move this, even though it's imperfect and has this one particular provision in it, into conference and try to get that out, right, or kill it. I just want to play a quick clip. This is for you. This is Governor Howard Dean on Meet the Press yesterday, and here's how he said he would vote. Here's the clip.
I would certainly not vote for this bill if this were the final product, but there are the House bill is quite a good bill. This bill has improved over the last couple of weeks. I would let this thing go to conference committee, and let's see if we can fix it some more.
So do you think that's the better move, is to push it into conference and then try to get these this particular provision about the insurance plans out of it there?
Well, I think that appears to be the only option, and I feel like that the president is intent on passing a health care bill this year, and if I just hope that that works. I just hope that there can be compromise enough to that we can support the bill that comes out of committee.
Also yesterday on one of the Sunday shows, David Axelrod, of course, the president's senior counselor, he said, I was surprised to see this, that he thought that the tax on these insurance plans that union members have, I hate to call them Cadillac plans because I don't think they're no luxury item, but he said he thought that this idea had some merit. I'm sure you've had discussions with people at the White House Mike, I mean, they know where you're coming from on this, right?
Absolutely. They know where I stand and where my union stands. We've been making ourselves very clear on the taxation of benefits. That was the number one issue, and we feel like that we know they know where we stand, and I believe they know the reasons why we stand where we do. You see, what they don't understand in the construction industry, about 1,400 hours is the average hours a person works. There's no paid vacations, there's no paid holidays, and there's no seniority. So what you only get paid for when you work, and that's the reason why you have to put so much more into your health plan per hour, because the employer pays, because you may not work for the same employer, you know, for your entire career. In fact, you probably won't. Most people don't work there in the construction industry their entire career for an employer. So it's they understand where we're coming from. I know that I've talked to several people that are involved, and they understand why we're so concerned. But the piece that they don't get is that sometimes you work 1,800 hours or 2,000 hours in a year, but that's to keep your when work's available in the construction industry. But that's your banked hours, so that when you work 12 or 1,400, you still have covered insurance.
Well, I guess the backup here is that you have confidence that the leadership of the House, at least, if it's Henry Waxman or the Speaker, whoever's on the conference committee, that this will be one of their priorities, would it be to get this out of the legislation, correct?
Yes, and that's where we're going to, that's what we're going to work on and talk to those
yeah.
congressmen about and see if we can get that changed in the conference committee.
It's a high priority, and certainly hope that you're successful there. Mike, I want to ask you also just generally, with this economy and with this stimulus, what's happening out there? Do you see things getting better in terms of the job situation, or still pretty bleak? And obviously, you're talking about particularly construction jobs.
Yeah, right now it's still pretty bleak. We haven't seen a lot in our industry as of today. But I will say this: you know, a lot of people think that that it's not working. I know that there are a lot of people employed in states that would have been unemployed, state employees, teachers, police officers, firemen, people that we need to keep employed so that for all the right reasons. And those people have received the benefit of keeping their jobs from the stimulus. But yet, in the construction industry, we haven't seen it. In fact, I just looked at numbers for last month, and the hours are even down more in our industry. We probably have at least 20% full unemployment. Plus, if you take in the number of people that are working 3 days, 2 days a week, you could say that we're close to 40% unemployment. And our hours are down on average just this year. But that's, at the first of the year, it wasn't so bad. The unemployment didn't start hitting us until early spring.
Are we going to get another stimulus package or another jobs bill? Let's call it a jobs bill, do you think?
Well, I hope so. I really don't know where that is right now, but I would hope we would. I think that it's the only thing that's going to get us back on the right track. And I say that because history says that, you know, that from the last Great Depression, and I think people forget this, the president became president in the the first year after the Great Recession started, whereas Roosevelt had 3.5 years before he became president, and things were already pretty much bottomed out. And I think our president has to be given some time to get this thing worked out.
Right, we need that extra boost, I believe.
Right.
Well, Mike, you still got it seems like the work never stops, right?
Yeah.
So we still got some ways to go on this healthcare. I think this is a very important issue that we've been talking about, and I hope we can see some good progress in the conference committee. Thanks for fighting the good fight, Mike, and thanks for joining us this morning, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right, Mike Sullivan, president of the Sheet Metal Workers International Association here. Good sponsor of the Bill Press Show.
Every time I turn the Bill Press Show, I get pumped up.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
I don't need coffee. I throw the coffee out the window.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
When did your life stop being fun? When did you start giving in to your anxiety, your worry, your fear, and depression? At what time did you stop being able to snap out of it? If being happy seems like something you'll never feel again, it doesn't have to feel that way. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. I suffered for over 20 years with anxiety, depression, and panic attacks until I took control of my life. That's why I founded the Midwest Center, so people like us could have somewhere to turn to find help. And to help you even more, I'm giving away my powerful free CD to everyone who calls in. You deserve to be happy, and there really is something you can do to help yourself, starting right now. Please call for your free CD. Call now.
Please call right now and we'll send you a powerful, life-changing CD. Absolutely free. Call 1-800-591-0194. That's 1-800-591-0194. 1-800-591-0194.
If you have been in your home for 5 years or more and you're in the market for a new home, you are now eligible for a $6,500 tax credit. The first-time homebuyer $8,000 tax credit has been extended to the beginning of June. No payments until 2010. You want to save money for the holidays? Call American Financing now, and you don't have to make a payment until 2010. 303-695-7000. If you didn't take advantage of historically low interest rates earlier this year, here's your chance. If you're not going to stay in your home for more than 5 years, take advantage of the low rates with an FHA 5-year fixed ARM. Rates are in the low fours. Get a quick response from a human being at American Financing, not some computer-generated loan from an invisible national 800 number. American Financing's mortgage loan officers are salaried employees, not 100% commission like many lenders out there. Get pre-qualified over the phone in an hour and close in about 7 days. 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Walk-ins are welcome at 225 and Parker Road. AmericanFinancing.net.
Hello, my name is Jeffrey, but people in this town call me Maniac. They call me that because I'm the fastest runner in town. Just because everyone knows who I am doesn't mean I belong. I don't really belong anywhere. You see, I'm an orphan, and I wander the streets just looking for a place that I can truly call home. My name is Maniac McGee, and I'm all alone. Explore new worlds. Read my story in the novel Maniac McGee by Jerry Spinelli. For other great book ideas, visit your local library or log on to literacy.gov. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Traffic still moving along at a pretty good clip this morning. Nothing really going on the highways around town. Speeds still look like they're in the 50s. Do have a fuel spill accident, Airport Boulevard and 32nd Avenue. That's on the eastbound side of 32nd Ave. Also a crash northbound Wadsworth at I-70. Two lanes blocked there. Your forecast today, partly cloudy, windy but warm with highs in the upper 50s. Right now we're at 44 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
With five times the selection, Jared is where to go for diamond jewelry this holiday.
That's Jared!
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, has literally hundreds of diamond bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and rings to choose from. Diamond solitaire earrings are always a great choice. At Jared, their extensive selection is priced from under $80 to $5,300 and includes their certified diamonds.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
Rouge is the real look at Sarah Palin. Put together a whole collection of stories and essays, articles put together by the editors of The Nation magazine, Sarah Palin, An American Nightmare, Going Rouge, available on our website, billpressshow.com. Make a great end-of-the-year gift for yourself and for your friends. Check it out. And so the end of the battle for health care just shows you how, this just shows you how ugly the Republicans are willing to get, right? They'll do anything. They will do anything to kill this bill or to stop the Democrats from having a victory in the Senate, including this. Listen to Tom Coburn yesterday.
What the American people ought to pray is that somebody can't make the vote tonight. That's what they ought to pray.
In other words, I think Tom Coburn is saying they ought to pray that Robert Byrd... I won't go there, but you get the point. That's what he's saying. That's what he is saying. Can you freaking believe it? What if a Democrat said something like this? I hope so-and-so croaks so they don't make the vote tonight. Or what if a Democrat, what if the Democrats filibustered the defense bill, which the Republicans did Friday or Saturday night, whatever night it was, in order to try to, again, block a vote on health care. Filibustered the defense authorization bill that included the money for the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Republicans did that. That's the extent that they'll go. Meanwhile, on the other side, progressives Rachel Maddow, Keith Olbermann, Ed Schultz, Bill Press, Howard Dean have been, we've been not happy with this healthcare legislation, and we have let our frustration be heard and our disappointment in President Obama be heard. Same with some of the bloggers like Daily Coast, Marcos Melitzos. Chris Matthews says we're all a bunch of babies.
And when you hear the Democratic left trashing the health care bill and attacking
the president, consider them Democrats. I consider them Democrats. Oh. They're different. Oh. And if I see that they vote in every election or most elections, I'll be worried. But I'm not sure they're regular grown-up Democrats. I think a lot of those people are troublemakers who love to sit in the back seat and complain. They're not interested in governing this country. They never ran for office. They're not interested in working for somebody in public office. They get their giggles out of sitting in the back seat and bitching.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Chris Matthews. I am a Democrat. I am a grown-up. And by the way, I ran for public office statewide in California. You had a chance to run in Pennsylvania, Chris, and you chose not to. So don't tell me who's a grown-up and who's not. Charlie Gibson, Friday night, saying goodbye on ABC.
I leave with great gratitude for you who watch us each evening and for ABC News, which has been such a wonderful place to work for the past third of a century. I think we have something the producers have put together coming up. But before that, I would simply say that is world news for this Friday. I'm Charlie Gibson, and I hope you've had a good day. I've had so many good days here. For all of us at ABC News, have a great weekend and a joyous holiday season.
Breaking up there a little bit. I know. No, it wasn't that bad. But you know what? Charlie Gibson had a damn good run. Damn good run. Did a great job stepping into some big shoes there of Peter Jennings on ABC News. And finally, I want to say a word today about a wonderful friend of mine, a man by the name of Saul Price from San Diego, who died last week at the age of 93. You probably never heard, you think you never heard of Saul Price? Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. Think of Price Club, right? Price Club, which is today Costco. So if you go to Costco today, or if you used to go to Price Club, if Saul Price was the founder of it, so a brilliant businessman. He heard about, when he was practicing law in San Diego, heard about this store called Fedco for just federal employees, and he went and looked at it and said, I can do that for all Americans, and he founded the Price Club, which was bought by Costco in 1993. A great guy, very generous backer of a lot of important issues, a couple of progressive think tanks here in Washington, Citizens for Tax Justice, Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. I got a lot of support from Saul Price. Saul Price was one of the original investors and sponsors of our radio show, The Bill Press Show. And in San Diego, you know, he was a guy who really put his money where his mouth was. I remember he picked one of the poorest neighborhoods in San Diego and decided he was going to focus on that neighborhood. He built a community center there. He built a playground there, built some schools there. He started an internship program for kids from all the different high schools in San Diego, underprivileged kids. They come back here to Washington, and every year it's a lot of fun to spend a day with them. Usually take them over to C-SPAN to meet Brian Lamb and meet the crowd there. A man whom I admire very, very much, and I'm always inspired when I see someone who has not only has a lot of money, but is very generous with his money to support good causes. And Saul Price is one of the greatest and one of the most generous people that I certainly have ever met. Saul Price, head of the founder of the Price Club, dead last week at the age of 93.
This is The Bill Press Show. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Did you know that last year smoking-related diseases killed 1 in 10 adults globally and nearly 500,000 people in the United States alone? How many times have you tried to quit smoking only to start back up again? How would you like to try an electronic smoking device for free that looks and tastes just like the real thing? Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Sandor for Smoke Assist, the revolutionary electronic smoking device that really satisfies. No tobacco, no smell, no tar, no stained teeth, no smelly clothes, and no more guilt. Live a healthy lifestyle for you and your loved ones. Now you can get Smoke Assist, $130 value for free. Improve your life today and be healthy. I'm so confident that Smoke Assist will work for you that I'm going to give it to you for free.
Get Smoke Assist right now for free. Call 800-734-4186. Get one for you or a friend, 800-734-4186. Limited free offer, so call now, 800-734-4186. That's 800-734-4186.
Do you have dark circles and bags under your eyes but can't find a product that works? Then stay tuned, because the next 60 seconds will change everything. Hydralyze is a proven breakthrough that has shown amazing results in people with dark circles and under-eye puffiness due to aging, fatigue, even heredity. And for a limited time, we're looking for 100 women in this listening area to try it free. Just call 1-800-600-2125. The first 100 callers are guaranteed a risk-free trial. So call now. If lines are busy, try again. The proven ingredients in Hydralyze help erase the appearance of bags and dark circles. The results are so impressive, women who've tried it say it's life-changing. And now it's being offered free to this station's first 100 callers. Hydralyze is not available in stores, so call immediately to see if you're one of the first 100 callers and try it before you buy it. Phone lines are open now. Call 1-800-600-2125 for your free trial. 1-800-600-2125.
In national news, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic U.S. silver coins. At the end of this broadcast, we'll provide a toll-free number you can call to receive free information and a free DVD. Millions of classic U.S. silver coins were damaged in circulation, and millions more were melted down during World War I for their precious silver content, leaving relatively few in existence. But a hoard of shining, brilliant, uncirculated silver coins, saved from destruction, were amassed and stored away in vaults. Today, in a startling announcement, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited quantity of these shimmering U.S. silver coins with a historical legacy beyond their silver value. Available on a first-come, first-served basis by calling 1-800-400-1841. To receive the free collector's DVD, call now. The number again is 1-800-400-1841. That's 1-800-400-1841.
Here, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk on your iPhone or BlackBerry. Details on AM760.net.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Monday, December 21, my parting shot for today. Yes, after weeks of wheeling and dealing, Senate Democrats have finally lined up the 60 votes necessary to pass health care reform legislation. It's been an ugly process for sure. In order to win their votes, Joe Lieberman demanded no expansion of Medicare, Ben Nelson extracted major concessions on abortion, and Mary Landrieu walked away with $300 billion for Louisiana. No, this was not the finest hour for Democrats, but still, compared to Republicans, Democrats look like heroes and Republicans look like losers. No doubt about it, as disappointed as I am in Senate Democrats for not coming up with a stronger bill, I'd still much rather belong to a party where 60 senators all support universal health care but differ on how to achieve it than belong to a party where all 40 senators offer no legislation of their own but decide to vote en masse against health care reform simply because Barack Obama is for it. Democrats may be fighting among themselves, but even in disunity, they offer a hell of a lot more leadership on every issue than the party of no. All right, folks, have a good Monday. Joe Hunt, president of the Iron Workers, will be here to talk about health care and all the other issues with us tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press Show. No.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo of your language software, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now, 1-800-600-6217. 1-800-600-6217. 1-800-600-6217.
Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away 500 free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, and quality of life. You can call right now for one free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-394-6545. 1-800-394-6545. That's 1-800-394-6545.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sabatini. Senate Democrats have broken a Republican filibuster, clearing the way for a vote this week to pass health care reform. But the bill still has a long way to go. Live to CBS News congressional correspondent Bob Fuss. What now, Bob?
Frank, after the Senate wraps this up, probably Christmas Eve, the House and Senate have to merge their different bills and pass that. Republicans continue their unified opposition to any health insurance reform. Democrat Sheldon Whitehouse says it's a strategy that will cost them.
There will come a day of judgment, and our Republican friends know that.
President Obama won't get a bill to sign this year as he hoped, but after this morning's vote, it's a lot more likely now that early next year he will. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
The NFL has admitted for the first time that concussions can and do have lingering effects, and it's agreed to work with Boston University to study the long-term impact. BU researcher Chris Nowinski.
There's an incredible urgency to get this work done, not only to find ways to prevent it in current athletes and young athletes, but also to treat the people who have already suffered.
An autopsy is scheduled for today or tomorrow to determine the cause of death of film star Brittany Murphy, who collapsed and died yesterday at her Hollywood home, apparently of natural causes. Murphy was 32. She gained fame in Clueless, 8 Mile, and Just Married, and was the voice of Luann Platter in Fox's King of the Hill.
The world can be so cruel. I loved that job. When I cut hair, people said they liked it, and it made me feel good.
With cities up and down the East Coast still digging out from a record-setting weekend blizzard, it's a snow day for thousands of school children and another day of waiting and hoping for stranded airline passengers. Airline analyst Michael Boyd.
It's going to take airlines, you know, roughly 36 hours to get crews and airplanes back where they need to be.
A YouTube video shows a plainclothes police officer in Washington, D.C. drawing his gun on snowball throwers who hit his car. In some cities, HOT lanes are HOT.
Miller, high occupancy toll lanes, once dismissed as unfair to low-income drivers, are picking up fans who don't mind paying to get there quicker. USA Today reports a growing number of states are creating toll lanes next to existing free highways, easing gridlock on them as well. In Florida, tolls will vary from 25 cents to more than $7, depending on the number of cars in the hot lane and the time of the day.
It began as a funeral for Iranian Grand Ayatollah Hossein Ali Montazeri. Before long, it was another big anti-government protest. Tens of thousands of demonstrators took part chanting death to the dictator. Montazeri, who died over the weekend at the age of 87, played a key role in the 1979 Iranian Revolution, but was a vocal critic of the current regime. S&P futures are up 5 points. This is CBS News.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's that time of year again, Rose.
Yeah, Medicare open enrollment.
My son and I were talking about prescription drug plans. I compared my options, and I like what I have.
Now's the time to review your Medicare prescription drug and health plans. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
So how is little Billy?
Little Billy is 42.
Open enrollment ends December 31st, so visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
The Chevy Malibu was designed to not only deliver world-class fit and finish, it was designed to look good doing it. It's no surprise, then, that it's capturing the hearts and minds of the pickiest consumers and critics alike. See for yourself. U.S. News & World Report says, the Chevrolet Malibu has been the surprise of the automotive world. The exquisite Malibu, just one of the critically acclaimed cars and crossovers from Chevy. Compare them to anyone, and may the best car win.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Area police will be on the alert for more possible bank robberies today after last week's high number of holdups. The string of stick-ups stretched into Saturday, but with most banks closed on Sunday, there was a break in the long list of unsolved robberies. So far, no arrests, fortunately no injuries in last week's 15 heists. FBI agents like to point to statistics that 60% of bank robberies are solved within a year and a half. It's a sign of the season that bank robberies increase around Christmas time. Homeowners are also a popular target these days. Police say thieves are always looking for easy marks, and you should keep a list of serial numbers.
Well, anything you can do to identify your own item, jot it down, make notes of it, and keep that in a separate spot.
Jim Shires with the Jeffco Sheriff's Office tells our partners at 9 News it's tough to recover stolen items if you can't prove it's yours. He also recommends that you keep gifts from view and have lights with a timer on in your home if you're away at night. In sports, what a lousy loss yesterday for the Broncos, losing at home to the Raiders 20-19. The Nuggets lost last night, too, dropping a game to the Memphis Grizzlies. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where we're seeing some slowdown, southbound I-25 on that approach to 104th towards 84th. Speeds are going to be running in the 20 and 30 mile an hour range. Same deal as you're traveling southbound on 2 1/4. This is after that Parker curve up towards I-25. Again, similar speeds through that stretch. Surface street accidents, 13th and Monaco, Federal and Spears, Santa Fe and Bulls. If you're traveling around the zoo, you're going to find a monkey out there running around, so watch out for him. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a nice day. We can expect a high of about 58 degrees and sunny skies, currently 33. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Remember, at King Soopers, you get double fuel points when you buy gift cards. You'll find them for retailers like Home Depot and Best Buy, restaurants, theaters, and more. So give them as gifts or buy them for yourself and earn double fuel points. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
Always, you're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
706 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. 4-day week coming up. Toast the 4-day week. Because Friday is Christmas, and I am out of here on Friday for a week. So the countdown begins. So much news over the weekend. And I'll be honest, I was not looking forward to coming in today after all the news that broke this weekend. I mean, really. It's a lot of difficult news out there that we're going to get into in just a second. I'll just fill you in on what we're going to be doing the rest of the show. At 8:30, we'll be joined by Governor Ritter to talk about his new announcement that he's going to try to direct more Colorado state contracts to contractors in-state as opposed to buying them from states and other countries. So that's good news. Also, we had over the weekend this big news about the state deficit growing even bigger, so we'll talk to Governor Ritter at 8:30 about that. Then at 9, New York University Professor Jay Rosen, who is a real pioneer in what's known as public journalism, and he talks a lot about what he calls the Church of the Savvy, which is a kind of an attitude that Washington reporters and really political reporters in general use to distort how they report straight political news. He's a great writer. He contributes to Harper's Magazine and the New York Times, among others. So that's at 9. But first, for the first couple hours here, we're going to be talking about, obviously, about health care. We're also going to be talking a little bit about Senator Mark Udall. A couple things happened this weekend with the good Senator Jellyfish. Let's start with health care. Before we get to Mark Udall. So the news over the weekend, which I'm sure everybody has heard, is that the Senate found 60 votes to end debate, break the Republican filibuster, and move forward this bill. And there is now the question of whether to pass this bill. Now, over the weekend, my good friend Matt Taibbi was on Bill Moyers' show. With another friend of mine, actually, Bob Kuttner, the editor of the American Prospect. And they talked about how this bill is a massive giveaway to the insurance companies and the drug companies. And at the end of the show, they said to Matt Taibbi, would you vote for this bill? And Matt said, absolutely not. And Kuttner said, you know, I think I would begrudgingly vote for this bill, even after I've admitted, I've spent the whole Moyer show acknowledging that it doesn't have the right price controls, it doesn't have the right regulations, but that he would begrudgingly vote for the bill. And I think a lot of us are pretty torn about what we should do. And I took a lot of flack over this weekend from a lot of people about saying that I stood with Howard Dean last week when Howard Dean said that the Senate bill as it exists should not be passed as the final bill. I took a lot of flack. I got, and they will remain nameless, but I got a lot of flack from a couple of senators, a couple of U.S. senators who you know, some of whom you love, for taking the position that I took. And we have up on our website at am760.net, the must read of the day is a piece I wrote for my blog at Open Left about the difference between movements and politicians that I think is very, very important right now for us all to understand. You've heard over the weekend a lot of good senators, and there's not that many of them, but a lot of good senators, the Bernie Sanderses, the Al Frankens, the Russ Feingolds, saying that they are going to grudgingly vote for this bill in its current form to get it out of the Senate. Many of them talking about how it's important to move the process forward. And I don't think that they're selling out to the insurance industry or the drug industry by doing that. But I do think that for those of us outside of the Senate, for those of us who want to be part of a progressive movement, for those of us who want to make sure that the best bill possible comes out of the Senate, it is up to us to continue insisting that this bill is not good enough. And that's the thrust of the article that I wrote over the weekend, which you can find at am760.net. And here, let me just lay out for you why that is. When we marshal the pressure to say that this current bill in the short term is not good enough, we're going to go to a conference committee now. That increases the possibility that what comes out of that conference negotiation between the House and Senate will be a better bill. If we simply fall in line, right, we the mass public, we the progressive movement, simply fall in line and say, hey, this is great, this is the best thing ever, there's no incentive for the senators who are in those negotiations to make the bill better as these negotiations go forward. So that's the short-term reason to continue saying that this is not enough. The long-term reason, because you hear this assumption out there, oh, we're going to come back and fix the bill later. It's got a lot of problems, but we'll fix the bill later. There's even talk I heard from a couple folks that there's maybe a secret plan. I don't necessarily buy it, but maybe there's a secret plan that once they pass this bill, then they'll come back after this bill is signed, sealed, and delivered, where the Joe Liebermans and the Ben Nelsons can't screw it up. They'll come back, and they'll try to pass a public option or a Medicare expansion through reconciliation, where they just need 51 votes. What I can say to you is this. There's no way that will happen unless right at this moment, progressives are saying the current bill is not enough. We have to be laying down markers right now to be saying this bill is flawed. It's not acceptable. If it's a step, it's only the first tiniest step. If we all fall in line right now and simply say this bill is great, then the political establishment will say, hey, we solved health care. We're not going back to health care to fix anything. We're not going back to add a public option. We're not going back to add a Medicare expansion because everybody said that this bill's the greatest thing ever. So my point here is, no matter where you stand on whether to vote for this particular bill or not, we need to be using this opportunity, this moment, to be saying that it's not enough, that if it represents anything positive, it's a tiny step. Because if we don't say that, then you better believe this is the last time they're going to visit healthcare for a generation. If we don't say that this is not enough, it will be the last time we have a crack at this. Now, over the weekend, Howard Dean was on Meet the Press. And he was asked, because, you know, he said, let's kill this bill earlier in the week. And he, you know, he sort of took a middle path now. He sort of walked it back a little bit. And I want you to listen to what he said. We got a couple clips here. We're going to play clip one.
Over the last week, there were some things that were improved. David mentioned the so-called medical loss ratio, the limits on what insurance companies make. And that was true. That was added to the bill. It was in a form that the CBO wouldn't have allowed, and now it was allowed. It's not all that strong, but it's strong. We can expect some gaming by the insurance companies, but it's there. There were some cost control mechanisms that were gutted. They got restored. So there are some things here, but there are still big loopholes. The major cost control commission that was going to control costs, which had been gutted in the bill as of a week ago, is restored, except that it doesn't apply to hospitals, which, of course, are the biggest drivers of cost controls, of cost increases. So the bill is better than it was, but it's still got a long way to go. I'm going to disagree with David on a number of things. The pre-existing conditions and the aging. The Senate bill says you can charge three times as much for somebody who's older than who's younger. Now the House says twice as much. In Vermont, it's 20% more. It's 1.2 times what an ordinary person pays. That's clearly not there is going to be insurance that's unaffordable. Suppose you make $70,000, $80,000 a year, you could end up paying $20,000 for your insurance under the Senate bill. So there are some big, big problems. Here's the major problem, David. We have committed, in this last week of unseemly scrambling for votes, we have committed to go down a path in this country where private insurance will be the way that we achieve universal health care. That means we're going to have a 30-year battle with the insurance industry every time when we try to control costs and try to get them to do things. It is not a coincidence, David Gregory, that health insurance company stocks hit a 52-year high on Friday. So they must know something that the rest of us don't.
So that was Dean, going back and forth. And I'm not criticizing him at all. I mean, he's right. The bill over the weekend got a little better, but there are still huge problems. Here's another clip from Howard Dean.
But I just want to be clear. So your advice, former chairman of the party, to House and Senate members who come to the point of a final bill, if it does not have a public option, your advice would be vote no.
I think it's got to have a public option, at least allow some of the states. Now, there are two countries that have done this without a public option, Switzerland and the Netherlands, but they treat insurance companies as public utilities. That's what we would have to do, and I don't have an objection to that. My concern about the public option is not ideological. But I just think a 30-year fight with the insurance industries over every little detail about how they're going to control costs is something that, judging by this past week when the insurance companies essentially wrote the bill, is
right,
not likely to happen.
Governor, my question was, without the public option, is your position say no to the bill?
My position is let's see what they add to this bill and make it work. If they can make it work without a public option, I'm all ears. I don't think that's possible.
Okay, so he basically says he wants them to at least move the process forward. Here's the last clip.
In the light of what Vicky Kennedy says, do you have a different view of whether compromise has been worth it here?
I think there's been an enormous amount of compromise. I think the compromise, frankly, has been too much. Here's the basic problem, and I said it before and I'll say it again. We have set this nation down a course where we're going to do this through public insurance. Private insurance. It is possible to do that. Two other countries that I know of do that exclusively in private insurance. It is very, very difficult. It is very, very expensive. We are nowhere near where Switzerland and the Netherlands are in terms of the regulatory apparatus on the private insurance industry. So I just think this is going to be a very, very difficult, tough row to hoe. She also wrote in that editorial, we need to be sure we get this right. And I agree with that.
The politics of this are part of it, and people have talked about it. Indeed, your opposition this week, which I had mentioned before, set off something of a revolt within the party, led to some strange political bedfellows for you. Senator John McCain on the floor of the Senate said this.
If you live long enough, all things can happen. I now find myself in complete agreement with Dr. Howard Dean, who says that we should stop this bill in its tracks, we should go back to the beginning and have an overall bipartisan agreement. Dr. Dean, I am with you.
How do you react to that?
I think, you know, the Republicans' behavior has been reprehensible. They haven't lifted a finger. They have really put their party in front of their country here. They could have made this bill a better bill, but they chose just to kill the bill because they thought they did do that for political reasons. First, and I don't believe there's a bipartisan compromise possible. As David Axelrod said, the Republicans of today and the John McCain of today is not the same, not even the same as the Republican Party of 8 years ago, and it certainly isn't the same as the Republican Party my father was in until the day he died. So, I respect John McCain. But he wouldn't be the first person who twisted my words around and used them for something I had no intention of endorsing, which is the Republicans' behavior in this bill.
Okay, so Howard Dean, I think, making the honest, credible case that he now says that there's a legitimate reason to move the bill into a conference committee, but that ultimately what comes out of the conference committee, if what comes out of the conference committee looks like the current Senate bill, he would have a hard time supporting it. And as he says, because there is no public option and there are no real strong insurance controls on the bill as it exists right now. But I want to be clear, wherever you stand on the pass the bill or don't pass the bill question, I think it's very clear that what Howard Dean has done and what many progressives have done is laid the groundwork, laid down the benchmarks for what needs to be fixed either now or in the future. And so there is a silver lining here, folks. I mean, I was depressed over the weekend about how this has all turned out, but I really do sense a maturing, an evolution here on the progressive side of the spectrum where we are saying this is not enough. And by saying this is not enough, even if we don't get all that we want right now, we are laying down the groundwork for getting what we want in the next weeks, months, and years. After the break, speaking of that, I'm going to give you an example of exactly what I'm talking about how that's actually happening on healthcare. I was on CNN on Friday night. It led their Friday night news, a piece about that issue of allowing Americans to buy prescription drugs from other countries. This story, what's gone on over the last few days, will show you a good concrete example that when we push and push and push and are willing to take on both parties that have sold us out, we can actually get some real results. So stick around for that. We'll play the CNN clip, and I'll give you my first nomination this week for Schmuck of the Week. It might go to Mark Udall again. He was big headline in the Denver Post yesterday. We'll get into what he did after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Seeing things build in the normal spots around town, southbound 225 Park Road to the I-25 merge. On 25, normal jams in Thornton, 104th to 84th, speeds in the 20s and 30s there. Same deal from 70 past Spear. We do have three accidents on the surface streets, 13th and Monaco, Federal and Spear, and in Littleton at Santa Fe and Bowles. The forecast, partly cloudy and windy at times, but fairly warm with a high of 58 degrees. Cooler tomorrow, a high of 40 with possible snow in the evening. Our current downtown temperature, 42 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you like listening to music on your computer, listen to this. Now you can hear all your iTunes playlists, internet radio stations, sports, and more in a different room with the new Bose Wave music system, SoundLink. No need to run wires. A small USB plug-in sends audio wirelessly from your computer to the system. This compact system plays CDs and AM/FM radio, too, and it sounds much bigger than its size. The Wave Music System now plays music from your computer wirelessly. Check it out. It's only from Bose.
There's never been a better time to find the home of your dreams. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know the Home Buyer Tax Credit has been extended and expanded. Current homeowners can receive a $6,500 tax credit. First-time buyers are still eligible to receive an $8,000 credit. The opportunity of a lifetime ends April 30th. Talk to a realtor for qualification details or visit houselogic.com/homebuyertaxcredit. Every market's different. Call a realtor today. Income qualification applies. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Save money with Bargain Watch at am760.net. This week, get a $50 gift certificate to Smoker Friendly for only $25. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at am760.net.
Mike, that nothing beats Castrol Edge and wear protection.
That's awesome.
That's thinking with your dipstick. You switch to Castrol Edge for 8 times better wear protection than Mobil 1.
That's awesome.
That's thinking with your dipstick. You sent that photo from the company party to the whole office.
Johnson! In my office!
So, not awesome.
That's not thinking with your dipstick. Think with your dipstick. Upgrade to Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering. Learn more at yourdipstick.com.
5W30s tested in industry standard sequence 4A wear test.
How do you say Corvette in Colorado? PurefoyChevrolet.com, of course. But now you can say and think DenverCorvette.com and CorvetteDenver.com. Any way you think it, any way you say it, PurefoyChevrolet.com is Corvette in Colorado.
Have taken us over the last 30 years
on AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
Boy, I tell you, some days, one of these days, it's just going to be like...
So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on? Some pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or extreme fajitas?
Just coffee.
Okay. Sounds like a case of the Mondays.
Oh, man, I love that scene. That's a great scene from Office Space. I've got kind of a case of the Mondays, and I know a lot of people do out there as well about this healthcare debate. Before the break, we were talking about how no matter where you come down on this issue of vote for the bill, vote against the bill, those who are telling the Howard Deans of the world, the progressive organizations of the world, to shut up and fall in line, I think are doing a disservice to the cause of healthcare. Because I think that whereas I understand that the Bernie Sanderses of the world, this Russ Feingolds of the world, the Al Frankens of the world, they are politicians. They deal in the world, in a Senate world, of what they see as the quote-unquote possible. And only what is possible is what social movements push the Senate, push the government to do. So there is a different role for movements as there is for politicians. And I think Russ Feingold, by the way, was right. Russ Feingold issued a scathing statement over the weekend saying that the White House and that President Obama is at fault personally for failing to push the public option in a more aggressive way, that there has been a complete failure of leadership. And Feingold issued that statement and said he's going to do whatever he can to make sure the public option is in the final conference bill when they negotiate it out with the House, but that he will support this bill because he sees the insurance subsidies adding some coverage to people, and it's a small step forward. What I have said is, no matter where you come down on the pass the bill or don't pass the bill, there is a need for a progressive movement to be saying that this bill is not enough. Because if we don't say that right now, there is no way that the Congress will come back and fix either this bill in front of us right now in the conference committee, or fix whatever final legislation passes. You better believe that when this bill passes, there's going to be a lot of members of Congress who never want to come back to health care. So it's up to us to continue saying at this moment right now that this is not enough. We have to lay down that benchmark. And to know that that is important, I want to play you this CNN clip. This led CNN's evening news on Friday night. We've been talking a lot here about this issue of drug importation. Should American pharmacists and wholesalers be allowed to buy prescription drugs at a cheaper price, at the cheaper world market price? Right now, only manufacturers are allowed to import drugs. They have a price cartel. They can import the drugs and then charge us whatever they want, and our wholesalers and pharmacists have to accept the price. They can't go to another country and buy the same exact medicine. The manufacturers sell the medicines at different prices in different countries. The saddest part about why there is that separate pricing is because in other countries, their version of Medicare, the Canadian healthcare system, for example, is allowed to negotiate lower prices from the drug companies. Right, the Dutch version of Medicare is allowed to say to Pfizer, we are going to negotiate lower prices for what you're selling. Our Medicare here in the United States is not allowed to do that. So this bill would have said pharmacists and wholesalers can go to Canada and buy those medicines at the cheaper Canadian price. The manufacturer of, let's say, Pfizer, Drug X, it will sell Drug X for $6 a pill in Canada, where the price is negotiated lower. It'll sell the same exact pill here for, let's say, $60. And so this bill would simply have allowed pharmacists and wholesalers to buy the drugs at the Canadian price. Right now, that's not allowed. So President Obama has promised to support this bill. You know what he's done. He's flip-flopped. He went and he lobbied to kill it. Here's the CNN piece about it. And then after the CNN piece, I'm going to explain to you, I'm going to give you concrete evidence as to why it was important for progressives to call this out for what it was, which was an outrage.
Did dirty politics kill legislation which would have okayed importing less expensive prescription drugs into the country? The FDA joined the White House and Big Pharma to stop that measure. But now, the senator behind that plan says there may have been foul play here. Luis Chiavone takes a look at the allegations.
A bipartisan effort in the Senate this week to open the nation's doors to pharmaceutical imports seemed to be on track with this campaign trail rallying cry from then-candidate Barack Obama.
Then we'll tell the pharmaceutical companies, thanks, but no thanks for overpriced drugs. Drugs that cost twice as much here as they do in Europe and Canada and Mexico. We'll let Medicare negotiate for lower prices. We'll allow the safe reimportation of low-cost drugs from countries like Canada.
A little more than a year after that campaign stop in Newport News, Virginia, the head of President Obama's Food and Drug Administration urged a no vote on a drug imports bill proposed by North Dakota Senate Democrat Byron Dorgan. Commissioner Margaret Hamburg raising, quote, significant safety concerns and calling the measure, quote, logistically challenging to implement and resource intensive, end quote. Former Democratic congressional staffer David Sirota, now a left-of-center political analyst, says the Dorgan Amendment would have achieved the goals of candidate Obama.
Many of the drugs that people consume at their pharmacy right now are made not in this country. What this bill merely would have done would allow wholesalers and pharmacists to buy those drugs at the international world market price, a lower price than they're being sold here.
The Dorgan proposal, with some Republican backing, would have permitted licensed U.S. pharmacies and drug wholesalers to import FDA-approved drugs from Canada, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Switzerland, and Japan, passing along the savings to consumers, savings which Dorgan says could have been in the tens of billions of dollars over the next 10 years. Those savings are no small matter to the National Research Center for Women and Families.
We were hoping that the time had come when the American public and our public health would be the first priority, not the interests of drug companies. And that's the biggest disappointment, that the drug companies, their lobbyists, as usual, have had their say much more so than they deserve.
The Center for Responsive Politics finds that from 1998 to the present, the pharmaceuticals and health products business was the top spending lobby, investing more than $1.7 billion. The industry leads the pack this year, with expenditures so far listed at nearly $200 million. Pharma, the pharmaceutical lobby's main voice, offered no apologies, telling CNN, quote, "The Dorgan Amendment was defeated because common sense people recognize there is no way to guarantee the safety and efficacy of medicines brought into the United States outside of the FDA's control," end quote.
In the wake of his amendment's defeat, Senator Dorgan has chosen not to comment. The FDA says safety concerns about drug imports are nothing new. And the White House just told me that President Obama still thinks drug importation could work, as long as his concerns about safety are satisfied. Erica?
So that was the CNN clip that led the news on Friday night. And there was a couple things I had a little problem with. I mean, first of all, it wasn't Senator Byron Dorgan who said the bill that the Obama administration promised to pass and then lobbied against. It wasn't him who said that the bill would save tens of billions of dollars. It was the Congressional Budget Office. Additionally, the piece did not explain that about 40 or 50% of medicines in our market right now, in your cabinet, in your medicine cabinet, are from overseas. That said, it was a pretty hard-hitting piece. You heard President Obama promise it. And then also at the end of the piece, he said, well, you know, Obama's still for it, but he wants his safety concerns, his quote-unquote safety concerns, which are BS. He wants his safety concerns addressed. Well, he didn't mention that on the campaign trail. Now, I told you before I played this clip that this was a good example of what happens when we call BS, when the progressive movement says no. This is not acceptable. Your flip-flop, Mr. President, is absolutely unacceptable. You have sold us out. What happens is we set a benchmark. We say this is not okay. And here's what happened on Sunday. I'm reading now from the Associated Press. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union, David Axelrod, Obama's top political aide, made sure to say that the White House still favors drug importation and wants to move it forward. Quote, let me be clear. The president supports importation. As he said, safe reimportation of drugs into this country. There's no reason why the Americans should pay a premium for pharmaceuticals that people in other countries pay less for. We will move forward on it. Now, you could say to me, well, you know, why should we even believe them, right? You know, Obama promised it. And then he was against it, and now he was like for it, and then against it, and now he's for it again. But what I would say to you is, yeah, I agree. It's not that I trust these people. It's that they were forced. The White House was forced to go on television and say, hey, you know, there was such a backlash out there. There was such a furor over this, that we feel forced to go on TV and say we are going to push this forward. Now, that gives us a benchmark to continue pushing, which I think is very, very important. Is it satisfying? No. Does it show the value of what happens when we push? Does it show the value of what happens when we're willing to say, hey, we're not just going to fall in line because President Obama is the president and because Democrats are control the Congress? We are a separate, independent movement. As citizens, as progressives, we are not put on this earth to rationalize flipping and flopping and corruption by politicians of either party. And when we think like that, we can get real results. After the break, I'm going to fill you in on Mark Udall. Mark Udall, I think, really outdid himself this weekend, speaking of craven politicians. Mark Udall calling he may be one of the senators to vote against raising the federal debt ceiling. Now, why is that? Well, what's wrong with that? You say, Sirota, you know, nobody likes the federal debt. Well, that's true. That's true. But explain to me how somebody who has refused to vote against any of the bloated defense bills, explain to me how somebody who voted for all of the bank bailouts is now grandstanding about federal debt. This was a huge story in the Denver Post on Sunday. I'll fill you in on it after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Still pretty mellow on the freeways around town. No accidents as you're moving in between Denver and Boulder. Things still pretty good on the turnpike. Eastbounders may be a little heavy there after Federal. Seeing some slow jams, though. Southbound I-25, 104th to 84th, again from 70 on past Spear Boulevard. And in Aurora, heavy getting out southbound side of 225 Parker Road to I-25. Just cleaned up that crash at Federal and Spear. Still working one at 13th and Monaco. Also have one in Littleton at Santa Fe and Bowles. Forecast today, partly cloudy, windy but warm. Highs in the upper 50s. Right now we're at 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The best and most affordable way to ski Summit County this season is Arapahoe Basin's Bonus Pass. For just $359, you get unlimited skiing at A Basin, plus 5 days at Keystone or Breckenridge. For more information, call 1-888-ARAPAHOE or check out ArapahoeBasin.com.
Surround her with the strength of your love with the Love's Embrace Collection, now at Jared.
That's Jared!
Jared is proud to present the new Love's Embrace Collection. Diamonds in a design created to capture the comfort found in each other's arms. This holiday, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99. At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Here for the community, and the community shows up here every day. If this was your ad, we'd be listening to it right now. Why not advertise on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk? Go to AM760.net, keyword advertise.
The holiday season brings lots of parties, family gatherings, and plenty of pictures. Look your best for the holidays. Restore your hair's natural beauty and healthy appearance, guaranteed, with Ovation Cell Therapy.
This holiday, do something special for your hair. Repair the damage from harsh chemicals and heat styling. Grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster, up to twice as fast with Ovation Cell Therapy.
Ovation is 100% guaranteed to grow your hair stronger and stop breakage naturally. No transplants, no prescription meds, no side effects. And Ovation is completely safe, even for chemotherapy hair loss recovery.
Look your best this holiday season with Ovation Cell Therapy. Buy a set for you.
And give a set to a special friend on your holiday list.
And save on both. Ovation makes a great holiday gift.
Give the gift you love to get. Give the Ovation Holiday Gift Set, a special holiday package at a special holiday price. Visit OvationHair.com and enter AM760 to receive a special 10% introductory savings. OvationHair.com.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
7:39 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. It is Monday, going up into the 50s. More snow in the forecast later on in the week. Mark Udall, it's the story I've been promising to fill you in on. Over the weekend, a big, big headline story. I think it was in the front of the local section. Udall may vote against raising the debt ceiling. Convinced the country's rising debt has reached critical levels, U.S. Senator Mark Udall said he's considering voting against a temporary increase in the federal spending limit necessary to keep the government running past New Year's. Given the Democrats' razor-thin margin in the Senate, a no vote by Udall, says the Denver Post, would put in jeopardy a delicate agreement with the U.S. House of Representatives, which last week voted to raise the debt ceiling by nearly $300 billion. Udall is one of just two remaining Democratic holdouts on this issue, and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner personally called him Friday to explain the serious ramifications if the debt ceiling isn't raised. Udall then going on about how he's worried about debt, how he is a deficit hawk. Now, what's the problem with this? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Sirota, what's the big deal? Right? I mean, we want our legislators to be against increased debt. And I agree with that. My problem is that Mark Udall seems to be suffering from a severe, severe, debilitating case of what I've called selective deficit disorder. I wrote a column called that, selective deficit disorder. It's a really serious disease in Washington. It's a disease that says we only care about deficits and debt when the deficit or debt spending is on things for regular people. Last I checked, Mark Udall voted for the bank bailout. Last I checked, Mark Udall has voted for almost every bloated defense bill that has passed the Congress. Last I checked, Mark Udall has not been standing up and yelling and screaming about massive corporate welfare subsidies. So to have voted for all of those things and then to stand up and grandstand and say you're against debt. I mean, this is what turns people off, right? This is what makes people think that all politicians are liars. When you've got a guy who has voted for many of the things that are causing our debt problem, then saying, grandstanding at the very end and saying, oh, I'm against debt. That's like me going out on a weekend and blowing my entire paycheck and then coming on the radio and telling you I'm a fiscal, you know, I'm personally a fiscal conservative. I mean, that is a joke. That is a joke. When I read this piece by in the Denver Post, I was like insulted. It's like, dude, don't insult my intelligence, right? I mean, you're insulting my intelligence by trying to land yourself big stories in the Denver Post with headlines. Oh, Udall is a deficit hawk after you voted for the bank bailouts and the bloated defense spending increases. What a joke. All right, I've done enough talking this morning in this first hour. We're going to open up the phones. 303-713-7600. Two questions. Do you feel like Mark Udall is treating you like an idiot when he gets a headline in the Denver Post saying that he might vote against raising the debt ceiling, the total federal debt ceiling, when in fact he has also been voting for all of these bloated bills the bank bailout, defense spending increases that have caused, in part, this debt problem. Do you feel like Mark Udall is insulting you, or do you think he's taking a strong stand, a courageous stand against the national debt? 303-713-7600. Also on healthcare, feel free to weigh in on healthcare. Would love your thoughts on what you think this debate is going to bring about. Are you for passing the bill, or are you against passing the bill, or are you with Howard Dean? Howard Dean's sort of a middle ground now. Howard Dean saying, all right, move the bill forward one step into conference, but if the bill comes out from conference looking like it does right now, then maybe we should vote against the final bill. I've just gotten an email here from my good friends at Fire Dog Lake, Jane Hampshire, the progressive activist blog, saying no. Sign a petition to vote against the bill right now. Where do you come down? 303-713-7600. You know what I've been saying? I've been saying that all the opposition to the bill from the progressive movement, ultimately, no matter where you come down on the pass it or don't pass it, all the opposition and the noise is good because it lays down benchmarks for improving it. So what do you think? 303-713-7600. Also, feel free to instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page and send us an instant message with your thoughts as well. Up on our website, we've got our must-reads of the day. The must-read is a piece I wrote over the weekend about how no matter where you come down on this issue, the opposition from progressives is a good thing. I spell out that argument there on our must-reads at am760.net. Also, we have the video up of Howard Dean's comments over the weekend. And that CNN piece that led the Friday CNN evening news about the drug importation issue and how the Obama administration sold out on that to the drug industry, how President Obama broke his campaign promise. If you want to see him give that campaign promise, it's right there in that piece. And as I said, when the backlash to their flip-flop, you know, that me and others have led, has gotten a good commitment out of the White House. This is what I'm talking about. You know, some of you call me up and say you're being disloyal to President Obama, you're being too mean to him. Well, I give you the importation issue. They sell out, they get called out on it by me and others. It was in my column last week, I was on CNN last week, and over the weekend, the White House is forced to issue a statement saying, no, we promise to push this. We promise to push this later on. Now, you may say, I don't believe that, but that is at least a commitment we can continue fighting for. 303-713-7600, David in Boulder. David, you're on AM760. Hello, David.
David from Boulder, how are you?
All right, man.
Hey, listen, one, Mark Udall, selective deficit disorder, brilliant. I love it. It happens all the time. It's not just Udall, it's all of our Congress. All the lip service to debt reduction is a joke as they vote for $1 trillion debt bills in the form of the military. I mean, it's $1 trillion, it's a joke. But my concern is health care, and we have to vote this bill down. It cannot pass. By voting for this, I believe we have codified a permanent private health insurance business, and we will never get a public option, not in our lifetime and not in our kids. And I'm not sure I can articulate this succinctly, and I'm hoping you can help, but here it is. Right now we have more political power, I think, than we will have in a generation. We have effective supermajorities or damn close in the Senate, huge majorities in the House, and the health insurance companies, relatively speaking, are weaker than they will be after this bill passes. There's going to be this federal mandate to require people to buy insurance. So the entire population is going to be buying insurance from private companies. They're going to be stronger than ever. And our political abilities are going to be way weaker in the future than they are now. So there is no way in hell that we're going to be able to revisit this at some point in the future and pass it and go through the same hell that we went through over the last year and then try and pass this. We won't have a shot in hell.
Well, you know, you make a good point that the insurance industry right now is weaker than it will be under this bill. And by the way, I think the proponents of this bill acknowledge that. That you know, there was a story in the Politico about an internal email from an insurance lobbyist saying the headline of the email was "We Win." And I think you're right that the insurance industry will only be more powerful. Howard Dean said that on Meet the Press this weekend, that his fundamental problem with this is that it makes the insurance industry more powerful, more central to everybody's lives. Now, the counter to that is this, is that while I agree with you there, I also agree I also think there's, not necessarily do I agree, but I think that, there is a possibility that they could come back in the next few months, if not the next year, through reconciliation, just a straight up or down reconciliation vote on something like a public option or a Medicare buy-in. And I have heard this kicked around, and this will not happen unless we all push really hard. It will not just happen out of the goodness of senators' hearts or because Barack Obama is a nice guy. There is talk that that the strategy is, look, we'll get the Liebermans and the Nelsons and the guys who hate the public option and would fight tooth and nail to get it out of a big package. We will get them committed to this chunk of the package. They will vote for it. We'll get it passed. The president will sign it. It'll be a done deal. And then we can bring up the public option after, in a reconciliation situation, a 51 vote situation, where they can't then threaten to take down the entirety of health care. Now, as I said, I tend to believe when people offer up these super secret plans, you know, oh, the White House is playing 15-dimensional chess. To me, it always sounds like apologism. Oh, you know, I never believed this, like, oh, when the politicians come and they say, well, trust me now and I'll help you later, right? I don't typically believe that. But what I will say is this. I do think there's been such backlash right now that if the harder we make it to pass this bill to pass, if it is going to pass, the harder the progressive left makes it to pass, the more they will have to answer to us. And by the way, this is the Republican strategy too, right? The Republicans want to make it as hard to pass with a conservative argument so that if and when health care is revisited, it will be revisited from a conservative perspective. So this is the fight right now. And David, I agree with you, man. I mean, your point about the health insurance industry being the weakest it will be right now, I mean, I wish I could disagree with you, but you're absolutely right, man. And that is, I think, what freaks me out and what freaks you out and what freaks so many other people out.
You know, I agree with everything you say, with the exception being that they can do the reconciliation process without passing this health care bill. So all we're doing is... Frankly, in other words,
well, the discussion I had over the weekend with a couple of lawmakers in Congress, which is that you can't add a public option to a system that doesn't exist, right? You can't add you could add a Medicare buy-in to a system that doesn't exist, but their point was, I don't know if I fully believe it, but their argument at least is, and this is among people that are good people, not trying to sell out, right? Their argument is you can amend this, but if you don't have a system, a universal system or near universal system to amend, you're still at square one. Hey, man, thanks for the call. 751 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Three-car accident eastbound 6th Avenue just after Sheridan. Going to start hitting the jams at Wadsworth. No problem for westbounders heading towards Golden right now. Accident in Alameda and Irving. That's one that just popped up. That's near I-25. Normal jams on southbound I-25. Heavy up in Northland and Thornton 120th down to 84th. But speed's a little better than we're used to seeing. Maybe a lot of people on vacation. Already southbound 2 1/4, heavy from Parker Road to 25. Forecast, partly cloudy and windy at times, but fairly warm. High of 58 degrees. Right now, 42 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Tis the perfect time of year to shop Lowe's. And don't forget, Lowe's has gift cards. Now someone can pick out the perfect toolbox, put it towards an appliance, or get started on home improvements. It's the right size gift for anyone stocking. Lowe's, let's build something together.
Hey there, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah,
yeah,
no,
it doesn't.
It's pretty much best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
Save money with Bargain Watch at am760.net. This week, get a $50 gift certificate to Smoker Friendly for only $25. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at am760.net.
If you like listening to music on your computer, listen to this. Now you can hear all your iTunes playlists, internet radio stations, sports, and more in a different room with the new Bose Wave Music System SoundLink. No need to run wires. A small USB plug-in sends audio wirelessly from your computer to the system. This compact system plays CDs and AM/FM radio too, and it sounds much bigger than its size. The Wave Music System now plays music from your computer wirelessly. Check it out. It's only from Bose.
Well, they really are. You're right. And this has been referred to, David, as the lost decade. Really, for the last 10 years, you've been up a little bit and down a little bit and essentially marched in place. So not a lot has happened. I mean, I'm looking at the last time the S&P was in this area, and it was back in 04. So there's 5 years right there that that it was clear at these levels and has not really given you any significant gains unless you are proactively involved with the management of your portfolio. And I've kept over the years a whole list of my emails that I send out to clients, and I think it's a real telling tale, not what we tell people we do, but what we do. And the first email that I sent out as a blast email to all my clients, and you're welcome to stop by and take a look at it if you want to, was on August 15th of 07, suggesting that people begin to take a look at some investments that are correlated away from the market. That's August 15th of 07, David. So stop by and see what we're doing. If you haven't done so, man, don't be the last one to do it.
303-694-1600, 303-694-1600 for the team at Presidential Brokerage. A couple more days till the end of the year. Now is as good a time as any, if not the best time, to give the team at Presidential Brokerage a call. 303-694-1600. Talk to you tomorrow, Mike.
All right, David. Thanks much.
Hi, I'm Sandra, co-founder of Discovery Outsourcing, a Denver-based professional employer organization. Discovery handles details of your workforce like human resources, payroll, and health insurance. Our large group healthcare plan is healthcare reform for small businesses today. If you have between 8 and 200 employees, find out how we can help.
Call Sandra at Discovery Outsourcing, 303-868-5257, or go to discoveryoutsourcing.com. That's discoveryoutsourcing.com.
Ever since I started working, every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
I think that's how a lot of people are feeling right now with this health care bill. We've been discussing it. Two topics. Mark Udall saying he may be one of the senators to vote against raising the debt ceiling, saying that he's a deficit hawk. Do you think that's a good stand, or are you insulted? Mark Udall, of course, is the guy who's voted for the bank bailout. He's voted for almost every bloated defense bill that Congress has passed, now saying that he's a deficit hawk, grandstanding about the debt ceiling. I kind of feel like it's an insult to my intelligence. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Then this health care bill. Do you think the bill should be voted down now? Do you think it should go to conference? And then if it comes out looking like it looks right now, be voted down? Or do you think it should pass? 303-713-7600. Steve in Englewood. Steve, you're on AM760.
I don't have much time, so I'll be quick. My wife is in a Medicare Advantage plan because of her pre-existing condition. You know, it took her 2 years to get in, or 25 months to get into Medicare. But the quick point is that one of her dozen prescription drugs for 6 chronic illnesses 3 years ago on a mail order 3 month copay was $49. The last 2 years, $77. Next year, $212. The same product made in Sweden, made by Pfizer in Canada is $75.
There you go, man. I mean, that's the whole issue. I mean, there it is, a real-world, real-life example of how when our senators, 30 Democratic senators and the White House, voted against allowing you to get those prescription drugs or your pharmacist or your wholesaler for those prices, you got screwed.
That's right.
It's an absolute travesty.
Personally, real quick, I'd rather see tort reform, pre-existing conditions, access across state lines, importation from Canada before any of the other two.
Well, you've thrown out a couple of things that I disagree with you. Unfortunately, we've got to get the national news, but I will address them, and we'll get to more after the national news.
Kevin Richards just sent his identity out shopping.
Hello? Hey, Kev. It's me, your identity.
Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. The retailer is sending the stuff.
Good. What? Did you talk to strangers?
No. But I met a nice group of guys from Russia.
Oh, you didn't tell them anything, did you?
No. Yes, I did.
What?
Everything.
Oh, I'm gonna...
Wondering where your identity goes? Get Identity Guard Total Protection. Total Protection scans activity regarding your identity, keeping you in the know 24/7. And if anything happens, Identity Guard's $1 million of loss reimbursement insurance and professional response team will help make things right. It's protection no matter where your identity goes. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Wait a second, Kev. What's that, Yuri? Yuri would like to come visit.
No, Yuri!
Visit IdentityGuard.com today. That's IdentityGuard.com.
Turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-749-7870. 1-800-749-7870. Call now. 1-800-749-7870. 1-800-749-7870.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. Home for the holidays could take some doing.
They told us that the next available booking would be Thursday.
Come on.
Which is Christmas Eve.
That woman stranded at New York's LaGuardia Airport and thousands more just like her will have to keep their fingers crossed. CBS's Bianca Solorzano tells us airlines are struggling to recover from the weekend snowstorm that caused havoc from the Carolinas to New England.
This is a day for rebooking. 1,200 flights were canceled over the weekend at New York's three major airports, and it's going to leave a lot of people scrambling today trying to rebook and get on flight.
Analyst Michael Boyd says there's just so much the airlines can do.
Everything's been booked full for months, so that means there aren't any excess seats out there.
Snowy weather last Friday night forced Eurostar to suspend train service under the English Channel between London and Paris.
Oh, we're quite devastated. Like, we just kind of want to get going.
Service could resume tomorrow. In Washington, Democrats have broken a Senate filibuster and should be able to pass health care reform by Christmas. CBS News congressional correspondent Bob Fuss.
The hard part for the Senate Democrats and President Obama is over. The final passage vote only requires 50, and while Republicans can delay it a few days, they can no longer stop it. But the bill isn't finished. In January, the House and the Senate will have to start a conference to merge the two bills together, finding compromise between two different versions, and that final product will have to pass the House and the Senate again.
The National Football League is acknowledging that concussions can cause long-term brain damage, and it's cooperating with head injury researchers at Boston University. BU's Chris Nowinski says the goal is to treat former players who've been injured and prevent a new generation of victims.
If you've played in the NFL, you're probably in the highest risk category for this disease. You've had the most exposure to trauma of athletes out there. So understanding that specific subset is important.
The funeral procession for a grand Ayatollah who was a vocal critic of the Iranian government turned into a big anti-government protest. Demonstrators chanted death to the dictator. Los Angeles Times reporter Borzu Daragahi is following the protest from Beirut.
Uniformed law enforcement had to intervene to prevent clashes from breaking out between the government supporters and the mourners, some of whom were throwing stones at the militiamen.
2009 was a very good year for one savvy hedge fund manager. CBS's Larry Miller has that.
While other investors were dumping their bank shares, Appaloosa hedge fund head David Tepper was scooping them up at bargain basement prices. Citigroup shares for under a buck, Bank of America below $3. The Wall Street Journal says booking the trend paid off big time, earning Tepper's hedge fund a $7 billion profit, with Tepper himself pocketing $2.5 billion. Tepper says he felt alone pursuing his strategy. These days, Tepper is alone at the top.
Taylor Swift didn't make billions this year, but she did all right. Swift has been named the Associated Press Entertainer of the Year. In early Wall Street trading, the Dow is up 97 points. This is CBS News.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's that time of year again, Rose.
Yeah, Medicare open enrollment.
My son and I were talking about prescription drug plans. I compared my options, and I like what I have.
Now's the time to review your Medicare prescription drug and health plans. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
So how is little Billy?
Little Billy is 42.
Open enrollment ends December 31st, so visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Look, I can tell you all the ins and outs of car insurance, but sometimes GEICO surprises even me. Like when it comes to paying your premium. They can automatically debit your checking account or charge your credit card. It's easy, paperless, and I suspect magic. I don't know how they do it. I mean, I know how GEICO can help save you hundreds on car insurance, but all that electronic stuff, poof, off it goes, and you're all good.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. If you're dreaming of a white Christmas, you might not have to dream much longer.
A very cold weather pattern is setting up for us to last through Christmas Day.
Along with several inches of snow for the metro area, but Dave Bargenbrook with the National Weather Service says your Christmas dream could turn into a holiday nightmare if you're planning on heading east this week with blizzard conditions possible east of the Colorado, Kansas, and Nebraska border. The Denver Dumb Friends League and the Max Fund now have a lot more money to operate with. Those animal shelters have received a $1 million donation from a long-haired Chihuahua and its owner, who decided to donate the money after the dog won a beauty contest. Michelle Ray with the Dumb Friends League says they'll use the money to take care of 100 Chihuahuas that are expected to receive in the coming days.
In California, they are dealing with overcrowding at shelters and seeing too many Chihuahuas coming in. So shelters across the country, such as the Dumb Friends League, are offering to take these animals in.
Ray tells our partners at 9 News that along with other animals, they're also taking care of 25 Huskies rescued last week from a sled dog business in Park County. In sports, the Broncos lost an important one yesterday to the Raiders 20-19. The Nuggets' loss was not as important, but it was still a loss. They got beat by the Memphis Grizzlies last night. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where you've got an accident, eastbound 6th Avenue. This is after Sheridan. Going to hang you up as you're coming in from Lakewood. C-470 starting to load up as the sun comes out, loosened to Quebec. Same deal as you're traveling eastbound on 270, where speeds are going to dip down into the 20s and 30s, getting off of I-25 towards Vasquez. Got a crash, Alameda and Irving. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a sunny day. We'll get breezy at times. We can expect a high of 58 degrees. Currently, it's already 35. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760 Progressive Talk.
This year, spend less time chasing sales and more time really enjoying Christmas. With Walmart's Price Match Promise, you can do all your holiday shopping at Walmart. That means more holiday time with your family. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Save money, live better, Walmart.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've been talking about health care. We've been talking about Mark Udall and the federal debt. At 8:30, we're going to be joined by Governor Bill Ritter to get into this issue of state deficits. Big news over the weekend in the state. Our deficit is growing. What are we going to do about it? So at 8:30, we'll be joined by Governor Ritter to discuss that. We'll continue our discussion right now on health care. And on Mark Udall and the federal debt, two big stories over the weekend. Obviously, the first, Senate Democrats getting 60 votes to move the health care bill forward. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Last week, Howard Dean had called for the Senate to kill the bill. Some progressive activists saying that it is not a good thing that this bill is moving forward. What do you think? 303-713-7600 or instant message us at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Our must read of the day is a blog post that I wrote over the weekend at Open Left, which is about how, no matter where you come down on that issue of vote for it or vote against it, that the outrage among progressives has been a positive thing in that it pressures the final bill, the negotiators on the final bill, to make the final bill better. But not only that, we keep hearing this idea that we're going to come back to this bill in the future. I mean, Paul Krugman has an article in the New York Times today saying that it is an, quote-unquote, an awesome achievement that the Senate passed this bill. But he notes that it's going to take years, if not decades, to fix its huge flaws. And my point is that those of us now who are saying this bill is unacceptable and that it's not enough are laying down the benchmarks and creating the political pressure for the Senate and for the Congress to come back to this bill and fix it or add to it and improve it immediately. They could come back after this bill passes the next week and put a public option or a Medicare expansion up for a vote through reconciliation. So my only point is, some of you have instant messaged in, some of you have called up and said, oh, you're being mean to the president, you're being nasty to Democrats. And my point is only, there's a difference between being a politician and being a citizen and part of a movement. And that the politicians, even the ones we respect, may be voting for this bill, but it's up to us to continue pushing them. If we do not push them, they will not come back to fix the bill if it passes. They will not make this bill better in this negotiation. What do you think? 303-713-7600. And then this issue of Mark Udall. He made headlines on Sunday in the big Sunday Denver Post headline. Mark Udall may be one of the holdouts in the Senate on a vote to raise the federal debt limit. This is the total debt that we're allowed to have. This is, if it isn't raised, it could create a government shutdown. Udall making big headlines, being one of the senators who may vote against it and may reject it. Now, you may have seen that and said, oh, it's great. Mark Udall's taken a big stand against deficits. Fantastic. But I saw it as an insult to our intelligence. How do you vote for the bank bailout? How do you vote for repeated bloated defense budgets? How do you vote for bills that are massive corporate welfare? How do you vote against a drug importation bill to save taxpayers $20 billion and then grandstand about being a deficit hawk? I call it selective deficit disorder. How do you grandstand about raising the federal, I'm going to be against raising the federal debt. We got too much debt in this country after you voted for all of the things that created the debt. Is Udall's stand against the raising the federal debt limit? Do you think it's a responsible stand? Do you think he's doing the right thing, or do you think he's insulting your intelligence? 303-713-7600. Check our website, am760.net, for the must-read of the day for Howard Dean. We got clips of Howard Dean on Meet the Press about the health care bill. We also have a video up from CNN. I was on CNN at the top of their evening news on Friday night about this drug importation issue. And as I said, you know, you want a good example of where a progressive backlash has created a good result on a health care bill, or at least the promise of a better result. Remember, we talked about how last week President Obama, who campaigned for allowing Americans to buy lower-priced prescription drugs in other countries, lobbied against the bill when it came to the floor of the Senate. What a flip-flop, what an outrage. The CNN piece is all about that. And some people say, why are you criticizing Obama? You know, you, Sirota, and others, why are you criticizing him over this? He's got to do what he's got to do to get the bill passed. And you see the CNN piece. I wrote a column about it. And on Sunday, the White House was forced to issue a statement on television. David Axelrod was on television, was forced to say, no, we're gonna come back to drug importation. And so that's my point here, folks, that when we push and we push and we push, we at least continue the fight. And we exact commitments out of them. Now, maybe you say, well, why should we trust that they're for importation? President Obama said he was for it, and then he lobbied against it. Well, that's absolutely true. But because we called him out on it, we didn't let him get away with it. And we can't let them, Obama, the Democrats in Congress, the Congress in general, get away with only passing a bad insurance industry giveaway, which is what much of the health care bill is. What do you think? 303-713-7600 will go to Debbie in Westminster. Debbie, you're on AM 760.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
You know, nobody's brought this up, but my concern with the way this bill is coming out is what is this going to do to small businesses and individuals? I don't believe, I think this is going to increase bankruptcies. I think that there's going to be less small businesses. They're not going to be able to afford these increases. And what about all the co-pays and all of that? That's just going to go up and up and up. People are still not going to be able to afford it. It's going to be cheaper to pay the fine. And I believe that it's going to continue to destroy our middle class. What's your take on that?
Well, I think, I think you're right. I mean, I think the fundamental problem with this bill is what Howard Dean said on Meet the Press, where he said it makes private insurance more central to our economy and to everybody's lives, and it does not have the leverage over the private insurance to exact the kinds of savings we need to get out of this. By that, I mean, I'll be specific. It's not clear that simply subsidizing people to buy private insurance is going to bring down premiums. It's not clear that there's enough price controls, cost controls, regulations in this to control whatever the private insurance industry wants to do. They can just jack their premium prices if they want to make more money, because they'll be guaranteed customers under the mandate. And you're right, some people are going to not buy insurance and they'll just pay the penalty. That's true as well. But I completely agree with you that the fundamental problem with this is we're giving the insurance industry exactly what it wants, a mandate which creates more customers for them, subsidies which obviously creates more money for them, without the exchange of we're going to have either force some competition on you with a public option or with regulation. So I think you're absolutely, there are going to be unintended consequences of this. And my only point is this, which is that if we don't call them out now, if we simply say, all right, look, you know, there's some good things in this bill, so let's everybody fall in line. If we don't call them out as you just called them out, then they'll never come back to the drawing board on this, ever. And we will be screwed.
I think we're better off just getting them to cancel this whole bill and forget the whole thing.
So you're in the vote against it right now.
I am. And even though I want people covered and it'd help a few people, overall I think it's going to damage without a public option, or forget single pay. But
no, that's exactly right. I mean, I that's the argument against this bill. And you know, I am. Like a lot of people, I am torn. I mean, I think this bill is unacceptable. It is not acceptable. Do I think they should? I'm not with you. I don't think I'm there on that they shouldn't vote it forward to get to a conference committee. But I hear you. I mean, and Dean said it this weekend. He said, look, if the final bill comes out looking like the Senate bill, then it is a huge, huge problem. It is a huge, huge problem, and there's just no way of getting around that. Hey, Debbie, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Boyd and Thornton. Boyd, you're on AM 760.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, David. Hey, real quickly, I think there, and this, I got this off the news this morning at 8 o'clock when they said that the Republicans can no longer stop it, the bill is going to move forward. I think they're playing good cop, bad cop at the very least, and at the very most, the Republicans are going, they stripped the bill down in order to vote for it, and then they didn't vote for it, and now we have a piece of crap that the Democrats are going to lay out to us.
Hey, man, that's a great point. I mean, when you look at it that way, you're right. The Republicans played the Democrats in that sense. But let's be fair. It takes two to tango.
That's the good cop, bad cop part.
Yeah, that's right. You're right, which is that if you think that both parties or big chunks of both parties are bought off by the insurance and drug companies, then you're right. They have good copped and bad copped it to a situation where the bill is largely a handout to the insurance industry and to the drug companies. And I think, you know, I don't want to get conspiratorial about it, because I don't think, for instance, that, like, you know, Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell were like in a back room being like, all right, you guys play the bad cop, we'll play the good cop. I think it's more like the insurance industry and the drug industry so owns the Congress that the big chunks of both parties are afraid to take them on. I mean, this is what I say to people, you know, when we talk about what is corruption. I mean, corruption typically is not, you know, some lobbyist running over to some senator and stuffing a wad of cash in their pocket, and the senator goes and votes a certain way. It's more like if there's so much money sloshing around, if all the people that you hang out with are drug industry lobbyists or are former drug industry lobbyists, then it creates a sort of an osmosis effect. That's your world. Your world says that, hey, it's completely normal, perfectly acceptable, socially tolerable to completely sell out to these industry.
Right.
So, are you against voting for this bill completely?
Yes, I am. I think they should end it all together.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are feeling that way. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
You too, buddy.
All right. 818 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. So are you in the pass it or are you in the not pass it camp? 303-713-7600. And what do you think about Mark Udall making headlines yesterday in the Denver Post, big headlines saying he's going to vote against raising the federal debt limit? Udall saying he's a big budget hawk because of this. Do you think that's a good stand, or are you insulted? Do you feel like your intelligence is being insulted? This is a guy who voted for the bank bailouts, the bloated defense spending bills. Do you think he's taking the right stand, a principled stand? Or does he think you're stupid and you won't catch on that he's actually grandstanding on a problem that he helped create? 303-713-7600. Go to our website. Send us an instant message, am760.net. We've got our must-read of the day up there. We got Howard Dean, video of Howard Dean's comments up there. We got that CNN piece about the drug importation issue and the White House getting nailed for flipping and flopping all over. Check it out at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. All that. And I will fill you in. I just mentioned, by the way, a system where money is so sloshing around that these senators and congresspeople are surrounded by health insurance lobbyists. A new report out by the Chicago Tribune gives us some details about exactly what that means. How many congressional staffers have gone through the revolving door who used to work for the drug and health insurance industry? I'll give you the details of that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. Do expect lighter traffic this week. A lot of people on vacation. Not a lot of volume out there. We do have some accidents, though. One, eastbound 6th Avenue after Sheridan. Stop and go back past Wadsworth. Three cars involved in this accident. Also got a single car crash on the ramp from southbound I-25 to westbound 6th Avenue. C-470 showing some slower speeds there. Eastbounders loosen up to Quebec Street. No problems for the westbounders. Normal jams on 225 southbound after Parker Road. One surface street accident at Alameda and Irving. Forecast, partly cloudy, windy, but warm with highs in the upper 50s. Currently 44 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
With five times this election, Jared is where to go for diamond jewelry this holiday.
That's Jared!
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry has literally hundreds of diamond bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and rings to choose from. Diamond solitaire earrings are always a great choice. At Jared, their extensive selection is priced from under $80 to $5,300 and includes their certified diamonds.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
And five, they're a member of the Tom Martino's referral list. What else could you ask for? Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer lines for $79. Try them, and you'll love them too. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000.
Right now, your Honda dealer encourages you to get out there and enjoy some great holiday traditions. For example, the Holiday Snowshoe Baseball Tournament here in Lake Tomahawk, Wisconsin, where all the players wear snowshoes and red Santa hats. Oh, excuse me, can you explain what just happened out there on the field?
Well, I tried to lay a bunt down, yeah. and I thought I'd be safe because I didn't think the pitcher would be able to get to the ball.
Well, why is that?
Well, there's a couple of feet of snow out there, and that ball was buried pretty good, and usually if you hit a ball and you can't find it, that's an automatic ground rule double.
Really? Well, it looks like you lost that bet.
Yeah, and I lost my left snowshoe on the way down to first baseline, too. I'm down to my socks here.
Oh, man. Okay, well, we better get you some warm water.
It is chilly.
Everyone has their favorite holiday tradition. For your Honda dealer, it's Happy Honda Days, when Honda dealers give some of the best deals of the year on lots of Honda models. So see your Honda dealer now during Happy Honda Days. Hey, did you ever find your snowshoe?
That one might have to wait till spring. Hey, you want to go ice fishing with us later?
Ho!
That's it, Santa? Just ho?
Well, times are tough. I'm scaling back. Ho!
Cheapskate.
You're fired.
Times are tough.
You got that right.
And being a talk radio station, we know that words can go a long way. So, we'd like to wish you happy holidays from AM 760.
Ho!
You do know that ho means...
I get it. Shut up.
Oh.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Ba-da, 823 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I promised before the break to fill you in on this Chicago Tribune story. Just if you want to know how mobbed up the whole debate on healthcare is, how much money and influence and disgustingness is sloshing around D.C. on this healthcare debate. An analysis of public documents by Northwestern University's Medill News Service, in partnership with the Tribune Newspapers and the Center for Responsive Politics, found a revolving door between Capitol Hill staffers and lobbying jobs for companies with a big stake in healthcare legislation. At least 166 former aides from the 9 congressional leadership offices and 5 committees involved in shaping healthcare overhaul legislation, along with at least 13 former lawmakers registered to represent at least 328 healthcare clients since the beginning of last year. Their healthcare clients have spent, get this, $635 million on lobbying in just the past 2 years. More than $500 million in lobbying over the past 2 years. And it kind of makes you wonder what is in this bill. It kind of makes you, and those are the kinds of things you start thinking about when you look at this story in the Politico yesterday about the insurance industry lobbyists in their internal emails, the headline in their internal email, "We Win." Does it make you think that we should vote down this bill? 303-713-7600. Joe in Golden. Joe, you're on AM 760.
Morning, David. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Listen, I've got two things. I want to tell you my Mark Udall story and then tell you what I think about healthcare.
Go for it.
Okay, well, about 3 years ago when Udall was running for the Senate, I went up and walked a neighborhood for him up in Westminster, and he was in the office, and I had the opportunity to go up to him and shake his hand. I looked him in the eye, and I said, Congressman, as he was then, I'm doing this for you, but I remember I'm doing this for you, but I don't want you to go to Washington and become another Ken Salazar. And he looks me back in the eye, and he says, well, you know me, and you know my record. And so that's how I let myself get mobbed.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the thing is, I remember a while back, I gave Udall some crap for, in the House during the campaign, he had voted against the bailout, right? He took a big, and he made a big thing about, I'm against, you know, unbridled bailouts with no strings attached to banks, and he voted against it. And then, like 6 weeks later, there was a vote on the floor of the Senate to release a big tranche of the bailout, right? To release like a certain amount, I think it was $300 billion, and he voted for it. It was so gross. But this, and for people tuning in, Mark Udall was in the front page of the local section of the Denver Post yesterday in the Sunday paper, saying he may be one of the senators to vote against raising the debt ceiling. Saying that he's a budget hawk. Meanwhile, this is a guy who voted for the bank bailouts, votes for every bloated defense budget. I mean, I think it's an insult to my intelligence, don't you?
Well, it's like he doesn't know that the Internet exists and that you can look him up.
Exactly. I mean, well, but here's the thing. I mean, here's what's bothersome, right, is that it's not that I think he doesn't think the Internet exists. It's more like it's a very cynical move. Right? It's very cynical. It's very like, the public is stupid. I can trick the public into thinking I'm a quote-unquote deficit hawk by every now and again grandstanding on an issue like raising the federal debt ceiling, even though I have helped create the problem that I claim to want to fix.
Oh, absolutely. And then there's the exploitation angle as well, because it's like, okay, I'm nominally the progressive. Where are you going to go? If you're a party person who, you know, goes out and walks neighborhoods and things like that, it's like, well, it's this guy or nobody
else. And by the way, that's going to be the rationale come in a couple months with the 2010 election. No matter how many sellouts that happen, no matter how much this healthcare bill has been watered down, ultimately the election campaign pitch will be from Democrats. Hey, you can't go vote for the Sarah Palin Republicans, so you got to vote for us, and it causes a real quandary. I mean, that's why I've said,
well, it's not a quandary, it's blackmail.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is. They're using the two-party system as a form of blackmail. And that's why I said, and I think this is always an important point to make when we talk about this, which is that's why primaries are important, folks. Primaries are important because they don't allow that blackmail to happen. Nobody can say, hey, if you vote for Andrew Romanoff or if you vote for Michael Bennett, whichever one, and that's just an example of the Senate primary coming up, there's not a, you don't have to feel blackmailed by, oh, if I vote for one of them, I'm voting for Sarah Palin. So primaries to all of these people are really, really important. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call, man.
All right, all the best. We'll see
all
you
right.
later.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Let's go to Lance in Boulder. Lance, you're on AM760.
Hey, David, how's it going?
All right, man.
You know, I'm torn on the whole thing, but I got to say that if we voted down, I think that the fat cats and the health insurance company are just laughing. I think it's part of the process. If there's a couple of good things that move forward because of this, I think we take the opportunity, and it's just like you said, and this is going to be my point, is, you know, 2010 is our chance to really vote for health care by the people we elect and not get tricked again, because we continue to getting tricked. But I think it's part of the process, a couple of good things, move it forward and try to build on that. It's just, you know, the civil rights didn't end racism, but it was a really large step in trying to move the country forward. So
yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that except to say this. I will argue with the idea that the insurance industry would celebrate. I think the insurance industry, I mean, again, this Politico story of this celebratory email from the insurance lobby is saying we win. I think the insurance industry is celebrating right now. I think the drug industry is celebrating. They want this bill. I mean, here the bill guarantees them customers through the mandate. It provides no competition to them because there's no public option, and it allows them to raise their rates as much as they want. So now, that said, I'm not saying that there aren't some good things in this bill. There certainly are some good things in this bill. But in terms of just the insurance industry and drug industry bottom line, this is an absolute jackpot. Now, Lance, I respect the opinion of people who say, you know, hey, I think even knowing that, we gotta move this bill represents a small step forward, and we gotta take that step forward. I respect that. I just want to be clear that I don't think if this bill goes down, the insurance industry would necessarily be psyched. I think they're psyched right now. Hey, Lance, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for making the point.
Yep.
8:30 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. All right, after the break, we're going to check in with Governor Ritter about this new story over the weekend that the deficit in state has grown. After we talk to Governor Ritter, we will get back to your call. So if you're holding, hang on. After a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, we had an early crash eastbound 6th Avenue at Sheridan. That's been cleared, but now we have a new multi-vehicle crash westbound 6th Avenue just after Sheridan. It's blocking the right lane, right side of the freeway there. Also, single-car crash on the ramp from southbound I-25 to westbound 6th Avenue. Southbound 2 1/4, also going to be heavy for you from Parker Road to 25. Eastbound C-470 behind as well. Loosen up to Quebec as you travel eastbound across Highlands Ranch. Traffic going to be a lot lighter for you this week. A lot of people on vacation already. The forecast, partly cloudy and windy at times, but fairly warm with a high of 58 degrees. Cooler tomorrow with a high of 40 with possible snow in the evening. Our current downtown temperature, 46 degrees. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
See red and save green during the Chevy Red Tag event with 0% APR for qualified buyers on most 09 models. So let the Chevy Red Tag event begin, and may the best cars win. Length of contract limited, not available with other offers. Take delivery by 1-4-10.
Hey there, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah, no,
it doesn't.
This is pretty much best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
If you like listening to music on your computer, listen to this. Now you can hear all your iTunes playlists, internet radio stations, sports, and more in a different room with the new Bose Wave Music System SoundLink. No need to run wires. A small USB plug-in sends audio wirelessly from your computer to the system. This compact system plays CDs and AM/FM radio too, and it sounds much bigger than its size. The Wave Music System now plays music from your computer wirelessly. Check it out. It's only from Bose.
Away for free, like the makers of Hydroxytone. Dermatologist recommended Hydroxytone is clinically proven to visibly erase wrinkles, tighten skin, and make frown lines disappear. It can take years off your appearance faster than you ever thought possible. And if you call now, it's free. The number for your free trial is 1-800-200-3691. See what I mean? Confidence. Hydroxytone's results are so impressive, it was even given away in celebrity gift bags at the Emmy Awards and featured in Allure magazine. Take advantage of this risk-free offer and see for yourself. What do you have to lose, other than a few wrinkles? Get your free trial of hydroxytone at 1-800-200-3691. Supplies are extremely limited, so please hurry. 1-800-200-3691.
In the market for a new home? Need advice on buying, selling, or financing? The Open House Show with hosts Brad Wilson and Lou Tornambi answers all your real estate questions. Tune in Saturday afternoons at 12:30 right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Trying to lose weight? Well, if you say yes to the following, you will qualify for a free weight loss trial. Please listen carefully. Are you trying to lose more than 20 pounds? Are you 18 or over? Have you given up on dieting? If you said yes to all of the above, congratulations. You qualify for a free weight loss trial. To experience the 14-day slim down, call within the next 24 hours and claim your free two-week supply. The number is 1-800-600-0807. Please note that if you are currently dieting on your own, with a popular weight loss program, or with special prepared foods, you are not eligible for this free program. Again, if you are trying to lose over 20 pounds, are 18 or over, and are currently not using any other diet program, you are eligible to participate in the free weight loss trial. Results are guaranteed. If you don't see results, you don't pay for the trial. To experience the 14-day slim down for free, call 1-800-600-0807. You must call within the next 24 hours. 1-800-600-0807.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo of your language software, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-600-6217. 1-800-600-6217. 1-800-600-6217.
Hey, 835 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Talking about health care. Do you think they should pass this bill or not pass this bill? And also, Mark Udall standing up saying he may vote against raising the debt ceiling, the federal debt ceiling. Do you feel insulted by that? I think it's grandstanding. How can you say you're against raising the federal debt ceiling? How can you say that you are afraid or you care about deficits when you voted for bank bailouts, when you voted for every bloated defense budget? When I read this story about Mark Udall, I was like, dude, how cynical are you? Really, how cynical are you that you think we're all so stupid that you can stand up and say, hey, I'm in my vote against raising the debt ceiling after you voted for so many of the bills that created the debt? You think I'm being too hard on Mark Udall? What do you think? 303-713-7600. EJ in Denver. EJ, you're on AM 760.
Hi.
How you doing, man?
Hey, David. I just was going to call. This bill, the medical insurance reform bill, the individual mandate worries me. I'm one of those people that my employer, which is the state of Colorado, by the way, doesn't provide me health insurance subsidies. So I have to have an individual policy. And in face of the reform before Congress, Blue Cross Blue Shield still felt confident enough to give me a 33% increase this month.
That's brutal.
Yeah, that's actually going to amount to 17% of my annual income.
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. And I think you're right to ask the question about whether this bill is going to address any of that whatsoever. Those are the kinds of questions that still have not yet been answered. Hey, EJ, thanks for the call. All right, 8:37 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. On the line with us now, Governor Bill Ritter, as promised. Governor, thanks for taking the time this morning.
You bet. How you doing, David?
I'm doing well. So let's start with the big news over the weekend, which was that the state's deficit has grown more. What are we going to do about it?
Well, the present year is about $40 million more. We're going to sort everything out and see what the actual is. That was the forecast. We had to balance against a forecast the Legislative Council just let us know about on Friday. So we're going to do what we've been doing for the last year and a half. We're going to sit down and we're going to go through everything item by item. We're going to talk with legislative leadership, with our legislature, with the Joint Budget Committee, and probably by, I'd say, mid to late January, we'll have a balancing plan for this year. $40 million is a lot of money, but when you think about it, relative to a $7 billion general fund that actually gets to be, you know, not so much, and we've had much more difficult balancing plans before ahead of us. So, you know, I was actually quite, pleased isn't the right word, but it was better than what we have experienced over the last couple of forecasts, where they come in dramatically lower than the prior balancing plan. We'll have a way to do this so that, again, the impact is spread broadly and nobody is hurt, you know, too significantly with just one cut or series of cuts.
What do you say about the conservatives in state who are now, there's this idea of passing some ballot initiatives? You got Prop 101, this proposal that would change state statutes by cutting state and local revenues. It would roll back new vehicle registration fees. You got this Amendment 60 that would, quote, rebruce the school districts, cities, and counties that have debruced and reversed the 2007 mill levy stabilization that is right now providing increased local funding to school districts. And you got this Amendment 61 idea that would ban the state from using certificates of participation and revenue anticipation, as basically prohibit borrowing in any form by state government and require local governments and other entities to get voter approval before borrowing. I mean, these are their ideas on the right, is to basically cut in a really draconian way. Is there any validity to what they're doing?
Well, no, there isn't. What I say, and it's fairly simple, I said it at the press conference on Friday, when we were talking about the new forecast, that just said if those were to pass, or if we were dealing with those right now, we would be absolutely devastated. We've been able to manage through this downturn and do it, quite frankly, without a great deal of drama. We haven't had to go into special session. I think Arizona was in their fourth special session. We've been okay. We would not be okay if those measures pass. Now, one of them is the rollback on the faster fees, and I can talk about that all day just because I believe so intensely that that's a public safety issue. To have 125 bridges in a state that are defined as structurally deficient, to have no money really to go after the maintenance of those bridges and other road work beside, it was irresponsible for us to allow that to continue. And so I'll fight like crazy so that isn't rolled back. But the other two, in terms of the budget, we would be in really this awfully stark place by contrast to how we've been able to manage this budget cutting that we've done over the last year and a half. It would devastate us. One of those includes rolling back the state income tax from 4.5%, where it's going to hit. It goes to 4.5% after the expiration of referendum C, all the way to 3.5%. Well, that's almost 25% of our personal income tax revenue, which is the greatest category of revenue we receive as a state. It would force us into this awful dilemma of having to, you know, shut things that people just wouldn't abide by what we would have to do in order for us to get to the place of abiding by those amendments should they pass. So we're going to have to work really hard to defeat them. They're on the ballot. But it is still this notion, right, that you can get something for nothing, or that you can continue to shrink the size of government. And what was it, David, that Grover Norquist would say? You could shrink the size of government until you can drown it in a bathtub.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what the right in the state seems to be trying to do. Again, online with us, Governor Bill Ritter. And last week you announced an initiative to direct more of the stimulus funds that are coming into Colorado to companies in state and at least domestically in this country, Buy American provisions. Tell us why that initiative was necessary. I mean, I think some people think, you know, the stimulus comes in, of course they're spending it here, but in many cases, if it's not targeted properly, that money goes elsewhere.
Well, our first priority in this downturn has been and continues to be creating jobs for Coloradans and creating jobs for Americans. I think the Recovery Act did a lot of very good things, but its primary purpose should be creating jobs. And so if you think about that, we just directed our agencies, and actually the Recovery Act provided for states to be able to do this. Sal Pace had run a bill, and it had, I think, not made it out of committee, and it is just directing them where prudent and practicable, buy American goods. If you're using Recovery Act dollars, and it's one of those places where Recovery Act dollars are intended to create jobs. So, and, building bridges, building roads, but also the health IT network, the broadband money we're going to get, the energy money, the weatherization money. There's all sorts of different pockets of dollars that are still to be let, Recovery Act dollars that involve our agencies making purchasing decisions. And so it was about buying American.
Let me turn to this issue of healthcare in the state. Last week we reported on, and we had on the Colorado Independent, which is reporting on some initiatives that may be in the legislature to force insurance companies to do different things here in Colorado. One of the initiatives would force insurers to cover birth control. Another initiative would force insurers to offer equal coverage, or at least equal pricing for coverage between men and women, to end gender discrimination. Where do you come down on those issues?
Well, I take those one at a time, and I'm not ready, at least, to comment about any of those. When my first year, we forced there to be some level of parity on mental health in terms of coverage for people who had mental health issues. We've had all sorts of different dealings with insurance companies, and oftentimes we're able to get there by working together on it. There was a provision that allowed insurance companies to cancel a person's insurance if they went into a clinical trial. So think, someone who's been struck by MS and decides they want to be part of a clinical trial, they would lose their insurance. Now, the insurance can decide not to cover the clinical trial, but they were deciding to cancel them altogether. We said, you just can't do that. So I have several examples of things that we've done that I think impact insurance companies differently than before I was governor. And as it relates to those series of mandates you talked about, I think there ought to be some rationale for it. There has to be, a basis, some way for the proponents of such a mandate to make an argument. I like to hear what the insurance companies say. I sit down with them. I'll go through those one by one, take their input, and then decide at the end of the day what's the best level of public policy. It is, still our hope, of course, that at the federal level we get health care reform in a way that makes moot some of those issues.
Are you open to, if the final health care bill has some provisions for states to do different things? I mean, there's talk, and it hasn't happened yet, and it may not happen. There's been talk of allowing states to create their own public options. There's been talk about allowing states to create a single payer healthcare system if they so choose. Are you open to taking up the federal government if there are those provisions in there that allow states to move past the federal government if and when a final health care bill passes?
The answer is yes, and so we'll have to see what the final bill is and then see what the wisdom is. Here's the thing that I think should happen. I think the federal government should, again, in the last stages of passing health care reform, focus on cost containment. That's the thing that actually would be most helpful to the states. Find ways to, extend coverage. And there are absolutely ways to extend coverage among people and do it in a way where you can contain costs. Is the public option that way? If the states have their chance to put together a public option, we'll certainly consider it. There are great healthcare experts that I listen to who will say, one of the things about the public option is the states, if you gave the state an opt-in on the public option, Colorado might benefit from a public option, but there are states that need it far worse than Colorado, because they're the insurance companies. There's not necessarily a monopoly, but, one or two companies that have all of the insurance, and what drives up costs oftentimes is the lack of competition. What you need to drive down costs is greater competition, and actually we have some fair amount of competition in Colorado, so that's one of the things you should be concerned with in deciding whether or not a state does a public option. We insured another 100,000 people last year, David, by passing the Colorado Healthcare Affordability Act. We worked with the Colorado Hospital Association for a year. A lot of people would say, well, they're an unlikely partner in that, because at the end of the day, they're the ones paying what's called a provider fee, and then we draw a match from the federal government. Fact of the matter is, we were able to work with them. They knew the wisdom of doing what we were trying to do, and we passed this bill that's going to give us another 100,000 people who are insured. Over a few years' time, we're going to have a couple 100,000 people on the rolls of the insured who were not when I became governor. So we've made progress, and some would say, well, it's incremental. Well, it's not incremental to the 200,000 people who wind up having insurance as a result of our efforts, even apart from federal reform.
Let me ask you one final question, and again, on the line with us, Governor Bill Ritter. There was a poll out, I guess it was about last week, showing you down 8 points to presumptive Republican nominee Scott McGinnis. What is going on there? Why do you think that poll showed you 8 points down? What do you think Republicans are benefiting from, or why do you think you're behind this one particular Republican?
First of all, it's very important not to live and die with polls, and I actually did not see that poll. I saw some polls that made it a lot closer, but I think this is a very tough environment for Democrats, a tough political environment. You know, we're coming into an off presidential general election, and that can become pretty difficult. I'm in probably better shape than a lot of my colleagues around the country who are Democratic governors and who are incumbents. It's a swing state still. You know, this is a state that very much is about the, you know, kind of the independents, the people who are centrist. And we know, that they're, I think, unsettled. They're a little bit nervous. I think there's been this message from the Republicans that I think where they've made an effort, at least, the folks on the other side trying to tap into fear and tap into sort of the frustration that's there. Once the campaign really grows legs, I have a great sense that the people of the state are going to respond well to the things that we're talking about, which is what the future of this state should be.
Governor Bill Ritter, thank you so much again for taking the time this morning, and good luck to you.
You bet. Thank you so much, David.
All right, take care.
See you. Bye.
8:49 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. That was Governor Bill Ritter. After the break, we'll fill you in on some more local news. A lot of local news out there over the weekend. I talked about Mark Udall and how he made headlines saying that he's Mr. Deficit Hawk. What a joke. Do you think that's a joke? I think it's a joke. He got this big headline, Udall may vote against raising the debt ceiling. Mark Udall's also voted for all these bloated defense budgets, the bank bailout. I think it's kind of an insult to our intelligence. I'll fill you in on that. Also, 14 bank robberies in Metro Denver last week. Jane Norton, the presumptive Republican nominee for Senate, continuing to dig herself into a hole, calling for the abolition of the Department of Education. And this headline in the Denver Post, credit card firms rush to get users on variable rates before tougher rules go into effect. I'll fill you in on that after a traffic update with Captain Turk.
Man, everything's been centered around 6th Avenue this morning, Dave. Had an early crash eastbound side at Sheridan. Still slow going due to that earlier crash. The westbound side, though, super jammed from about Federal to Sheridan. That's where we have a multi-car crash blocking the right lane. Also got a auto versus pedestrian accident at 6th and Broadway. And they also just cleared up that crash on the ramp from southbound I-25 to westbound 6th. So, again, seems like 6th Avenue is a trouble spot for us today from end to end. Forecast, partly cloudy, windy, but warm with highs in the upper 50s. Right now, 45 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Last-minute gift shopping doesn't get any easier than picking up gift cards at Safeway. There are over 300 to choose from, all your favorite stores. There's one for everyone on your list. Safeway, ingredients for life.
You switched your old synthetic oil for Castrol Edge. That's thinking with your dipstick. You like that Castrol Edge has 8 times better wear protection than Mobil 1. That's thinking with your dipstick. You enter a 15-round cage match against Smasher. That's not thinking with your dipstick. Think with your dipstick. Upgrade to Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering. Learn more at yourdipstick.com.
5W30 is tested in industry standard sequence 4A wear test.
The New Vitality Health Products gave away 500 free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, and quality of life. You can call right now for one free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-394-6545. 1-800-394-6545. That's 1-800-394-6545.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit MatrixDirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $14 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-500-2609. Since 1995, Matrix Direct has helped over a million people save money on their term life insurance. Don't you want to know how much we could save you? It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 75%, and the call is absolutely free. Call Matrix Direct, 1-800-500-2609. That's 1-800-500-2609. 1-800-500-2609.
853 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. So Mark Udall made headlines over the weekend. Udall may vote against raising the debt ceiling. Convinced this country's rising debt has reached critical levels, Senator Udall, otherwise known on this show as Senator Jellyfish, said he's considering voting against a temporary increase in the federal spending limit necessary to keep the government running past New Year's. Given the Democrats' razor-thin margin in the Senate, a no vote by Udall would put in jeopardy a delicate agreement with the U.S. House of Representatives, which last week voted to raise the debt ceiling by nearly $300 billion, enough to keep the government functioning until February. Udall is just one of two remaining Democratic holdouts in the Senate, and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner personally called him Friday to explain the serious ramifications if the debt ceiling isn't raised. So I wonder, are you like me when you read this headline? Are you like, wow, what a cynical BS artist is Mark Udall? I mean, really. This is a guy who's voted for the bank bailouts. He's voted for all these bloated defense spending increases for years and years and years. Now has the nerve to grandstand as some sort of budget hawk when we need to raise the debt ceiling because he's voted for so many of these different budget-busting bills. I kind of feel like it's total grandstanding. I feel kind of insulted, like my intelligence is being insulted. What about you? 303-713-7600. 14 bank robberies in Metro Denver this week. There were four more bank robberies in the metro area on Friday, bringing the number of bank robberies since Monday, last Monday, to 14. Incredible. Gail Norton gets, keep calling her Gail Norton, Jane Norton, the presumptive Republican nominee for Senate in 2006, raked over the coals in the Denver Post this weekend for continuing to call to abolish the Department of Education. And this story in the Denver Post: banks and credit card issuers are more frequently changing users' terms, particularly interest rates, in part to bypass restrictive federal rules set to take effect in just a couple of weeks. So make sure to watch the terms of your credit cards. Make sure to see if they are changing. Watch out for it, because they are trying to do that before this deadline hits. Go to our website, am760.net, and check our website at the David Sirota page. Just click over to David Sirota on the left-hand side. We've got our must-read of the day. We've been talking about health care. Why is it important to voice our concerns about health care right now? There's been this debate: pass it, don't pass it. I wonder where you come down on that. 303-713-7600. You know, as I said, no matter where you come down on that debate, our must-read of the day on our website at am760.net is about how it's important for us to say this bill is not okay, because at least that sets the benchmarks for how to improve it moving forward in the conference committee, because that's where it's going after it passes the Senate. And then ultimately this whole idea, oh, well, they may come back and fix it later. Well, they're not going to come back and fix it later if we don't say why it's not okay now. If we all fall in line and say, oh, this bill is fantastic, it's great, what reason would they have to come back and fix its problems later? If we all say, hey, it's perfect, it's done, then there's no reason for them to come back. So that's in our must read of the day at am760.net. Also, comments from Howard Dean over the weekend on Meet the Press. He basically says he thinks the bill should move forward, the Senate health care bill should move forward to the conference committee. This is important to keep the process moving, but if what comes out of the conference committee, that negotiation between the House and Senate, if the final bill looks like the Senate bill, he still is withholding judgment and withholding support for it. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. Then also, we have the clip from CNN. It led the Friday evening newscast. Now, I know a lot of you gave me crap for this last week when I was talking about drug importation, this issue of should American wholesalers and pharmacists be allowed to buy lower-priced FDA-approved prescription drugs from other countries. Some of you said, why are you giving the president so much crap? The president had promised to support this on the campaign trail, and then he went and he lobbied against it when it came to the floor of the Senate. People said, you're being too hard on him. Well, watch the CNN clip, led their evening news on Friday. I have a little snippet in there talking about it. But what happened is there was so much anger about what the White House did that on Sunday, David Axelrod was forced to go on the Sunday shows and say, no, we promise to revisit this. Now, maybe you say, you don't believe them, but it is progress. It shows why punching back is important. Check our website, am760.net. Okay, up next, we're going to talk to one of the leading media critics in the country about the Church of the Savvy. What is that? Stick around and find out.
You've heard a lot about Ovation Cell Therapy and how it helps restore dry, brittle, damaged hair and the amazing results for growing your hair thicker, fuller, stronger, longer, and faster. Guaranteed. But did you know that after 15 years, over 500,000 customers have never asked for their money back? Because it works. I've been using Ovation for less than a week, but I love it already. Your website claimed people noticed a difference after a couple of days of use, and I have to agree with them. Thanks for a wonderful product. Ovation Cell Therapy works on all hair types to help restore dry, brittle, thinning, or damaged hair. And it'll work for you, too. Just a simple shampoo and rinse application with no side effects. It's even safe and effective for chemotherapy hair loss recovery. And it's unconditionally guaranteed. Log on to ovationhair.com to learn more and enter AM760 at checkout for a special offer. Grow your hair thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer, faster. Visit ovationhair.com and remember to enter AM760 for your special offer. ovationhair.com.
Turn to the left with AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. We've all heard the horror stories. People like this man last August, trapped for hours on airplanes sitting on a tarmac.
You're almost numb because you're so exhausted. Babies are crying and the smells are getting worse.
Well, now Uncle Sam is doing something about it. Live to CBS News correspondent Howard Ehrenstein in Washington.
Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says you won't have to wait aboard an airplane stranded on the tarmac for more than 3 hours. His department fined Continental Airlines and others $175,000 last month for stranding passengers overnight on a plane in Rochester, Minnesota. The new rule also says you must get food and water within 2 hours if you're aboard a plane being delayed. The changes don't take effect for about 4 months.
Well, air travel has been snarled by the weekend blizzard in the east. At New York's LaGuardia Airport, CBS News correspondent Bianca Solorzano says the results are apparent all around.
Lines have definitely been much, much longer than normal. People just wrapping around waiting to check in and go through security as well.
And along with canceling some trains in the east, Amtrak has warned of significant travel delays to the south and west. Plus, the weather has forced many schools and offices to stay closed today. Now that health care reform has cleared a key hurdle with a cutoff of debate, there is more work to be done. With a report, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The Senate's sometimes torturous procedural maze will continue for several more days. It can be shortened at any time with Republican agreement, but Republicans are furious about this health bill and want it delayed as long as possible. So there will be several more votes required over the next few days, and a final vote could come late on Christmas Eve. And that's not the end. The House passed a very different health reform bill, and those bills now have to be merged.
Well, the government is out with preliminary violent crime statistics, and once again, they are lower for the third year in a row. Overall, violent crime fell 4.4%. It comes at an appropriate moment on the calendar, just days before Christians mark his birth. Israeli archaeologists have announced the discovery of the first house in Nazareth that can be dated to the time of Jesus. Yardena Alexandre is the excavations director for the Israeli Antiquities Authority.
The character of the walls is typical of Jewish villages in the early Roman period, and so this would be the sort of house house that Jesus or people of his spirit would have lived in.
The archaeologists believe at the time Jesus was born, Nazareth was a village of about 50 houses. There are 54 million Facebook members in this country between the ages of 12 and 17, and a growing number of them have decided they've been spending too much time on the social networking site and are trying to wean themselves off. MIT psychologist Sherry Turkle says people can find the right balance.
I think we can be Facebook users and social network users, but not abuse it so that it really cuts into other ways of being together.
This is CBS News.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-0907. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-400-0907. That's 1-800-400-0907. 1-800-400-0907.
Authority.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Home and business owners are reporting more break-ins and thefts as Christmas approaches. Police say thieves are looking for easy opportunities to break into buildings and cars. Jim Shires with the Jeffco County Sheriff's Department says keep a list of serial numbers handy.
Without some kind of identifying mark on that item, be it a big screen TV or stereo system or even an iPod, it's really difficult to say that that was the one that was stolen.
Shires tells our partners at 9 News these crimes can be tough to investigate because there's usually very little evidence left behind. Looking to go back to the days of the Wild West? Well, head to Glenwood Springs. True West magazine names the city as one of the top 10 true western towns. The magazine praises the plaques on historic downtown businesses and how the town illustrates history as relevant to everyday life. In case you're wondering, the top true western town in the country is listed as Virginia City, Nevada. In sports, the Broncos lost to the Raiders. Yes, the Raiders, 20-19 yesterday. That drops them into a tie for a wild card spot. And the Nuggets lost last night to the Memphis Grizzlies. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where it seems that if you're driving around 6th Avenue and I-25 at the tail end of this morning's commute, you're going to find a lot of delays. They're still mopping up this multi-vehicle crash. This is westbound 6 west of Sheridan. We've got a couple different crashes on the northbound side of I-25 right around 6th Avenue. The emergency crews are on scene of each one of them, so you're going to find some flashing lights there. They're mopping up an auto versus pedestrian wreck that occurred at 6th and Broadway. That one should be out of your way shortly. In the high country, slick spots along I-6 over Vail Pass as well as over Loveland Pass. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day temperature-wise before it gets cold midweek. We can expect a high of about 58 degrees today, currently 39. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snow plow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. Back the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
907 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What is the Church of the Savvy? What does that mean? Joining us now to discuss what exactly that means is the guy who coined the term, Jay Rosen. He is a professor of journalism at New York University. He's one of the pioneers of what's known as public journalism, one of the great media critics in the country now and has been for many years. Jay, thanks for taking the time this morning. All right, tell us, what is the Church of the Savvy?
Well, David, that's just my name for the political press corps that we have, and it attempts to describe the belief system of the people in that group, and that's what I think they believe in. They believe in being savvy, in their own savviness, and that is their one true ideology. And that's why I call it the Church of the Savvy.
And by, how does that work on a day-to-day basis? I mean, if there's a story out there about a given issue, how does that fuse or seed the way the story is reported?
Well, you have to remember that political journalists in the mainstream media especially are prohibited from having a political view of their own, and they see their authority as arising from their neutral position within politics. But they also see themselves as very knowledgeable about politics and very passionately engaged in it, but they can't have any politics. And so the result is that they admire those people who have a savvy knowledge of the game and how things really work. And they tend to marginalize those people they see as unsavvy, who don't really know how things work. And the result is a kind of a bias, but it's not the kind we usually think of when we say the liberal media, or you're a conservative tool, or you're carrying the water of the Republicans, or these kinds of charges which miss the mark, because the bias that a savvy perspective brings is towards those who seem to be part of the inside game in Washington.
And so, and you know, I've seen this recently. I think it's been most prevalent on this idea of campaign promises. It seems to me that one way you see this is that reporters have treated campaign promises made and then broken as barely news, because everybody should sort of know that politicians break their campaign promises.
Right. That's a very good example of a savvy view. The savvy know that, well, you say one thing to get elected, and you do another when you're in office, or you talk the talk because that's what people want to hear, but then you meet the hard realities of governing, and you come to Washington to change it, but then the eternal verities of politics take over, and actually it's very hard to change it. And by repeatedly asserting these views, not as views, but as reality, the way things are, the net result is that journalists are able to marginalize those people who expect things to be different, or, in your example, who expect politicians to live up to their campaign promises. Now, a contrasting way of going about it is the route taken by PolitiFact.com, which is sort of a fact-checking site of the St. Petersburg Times. What they've done is a completely different approach. They actually articulated all the major campaign promises that President Obama made before he got in office, and they are tracking each one and grading him on whether he kept it, broke it, or can't tell yet. And they're trying to take seriously this idea of campaign promises, which is a very unsavvy thing to do, but also a very useful thing to do.
Yeah, well, let me follow up with you on what kind of reality this creates. And again, on the line with us, Jay Rosen. He is a professor of journalism at New York University, one of the leading media critics in this country, and a regular read of mine. Let me put it this way. Does this idea of the savviness that you outlined, the idea of that you got to look at the quote-unquote real world, does that actually create a separate reality? I mean, I feel like that journalists who cover politics, they have these notions of what we can and should expect or what's savvy or realistic to expect. But in fact, by seeding their reporting with those ideas, they actually create a reality rather than just report on a reality.
Well, sure. In this way, part of politics is what's possible, and what's possible depends in part on public opinion and public expectations. And one of the more insidious effects of the savvy outlook is that it shapes our expectations of what's possible, because the people who nominate themselves as the realists have such a limited view. And if you look at kind of how this group of people portrays the political world, they are very consistent in insisting that the centrist way is the rational way, that compromise is not just good, but really the only real way to get anything done, that that change comes very slowly, that you have to sell your policy in a different way than perhaps the policy actually works. And these things are a product not actually of how the world works, but of the reference group that political journalists really belong to, which is not only the world of political reporters and pundits and analysts, but political operatives and campaign consultants and pollsters and others who have a kind of professional stake in the game of politics.
And I wonder, you know, why, and you've laid out some of it, but why this has happened. I mean, I'll give you an example, like this issue of who is a centrist and who isn't. Seems to me that the way to more empirically determine who is a centrist and who isn't, so look at, you know, on healthcare. Where are the polls? All right, well, 70% of Americans like a Medicare buy-in, 65% of Americans like a public option, yet somehow the quote-unquote centrists in Congress are precisely the ones who are against those things. It seems to me that they are not centrists, but yet they are portrayed as centrists. I mean, is there any sense among journalists, in the ones that you know, the ones that you cover, that maybe that they should be a little bit more connected to what the public wants and some of the empirical data about where the public is before portraying certain things as liberal, conservative, or centrist?
Well, I think this is a good point. It's intricate, though. It's a little subtler than that. Where the center is in American politics is always an open question. It's not like you can read it off a poll. And it's always a mystery, because until someone tries something, you don't necessarily know what the public reaction is. Until you have leadership on a policy, you don't know how many people would support that policy. Until you have some vision in politics, you can't take people to somewhere new that they haven't supported before. And all of that is well known, but it kind of interferes with the pundit game, because we're supposed to rely on these people to tell us the way it is. And the way that they generate their reputation as shrewd and savvy judges of politics is not by reference to what's possible, but by being masters of the probable and of sort of what's gone before, and of political behavior, the way it's always been seen. And so there is a kind of bias there towards things being the way they've always been, which actually benefits the political class in Washington, because these people intend to stay around well past healthcare, well past Obama, well past the issues of the day. And so their investment is actually in these sort of permanent rituals of politics. And I think savviness grows out of that. It grows out of the permanent position they want to occupy in the political game. And that produces this very insidious outlook.
So are you actually asserting that then to go to a logical conclusion that when it comes to, forget about liberal, conservative, progressive or conservative, Republican and Democrat, that on an ideological basis, that on the change versus status quo continuum, that there is basically somewhat of an ideological bias among professional reporters and pundits to the status quo because they are vested in it?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it's an ideological bias because it doesn't seem that way to them. It seems to them to simply be a description of the way things are. But yes, they have an investment in the way the political game is played, and they see themselves as masters of that game who can tell us how it really works, who know that there's this irony in American democracy if we say these things like campaign promises, but the way our system works is so different. And that sense of irony of, well, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be, but let me tell you how it really works. That's how they generate their credibility. And so by investing in that view, they end up, yes, reinforcing sort of the political culture of the place, but that's a little bit different than being on the side of the Republicans or on the side
right.
of the powerful or on the side of the liberal establishment. They're not. They're on the side of politics the way it tends to run. That's their affiliation.
Again, I'm lying with this Jay Rosen. He's the New York University professor of journalism, one of the nation's leading media critics. My final question for you is, and I'm sure you get this all the time. I mean, what you've laid out, and which I agree with completely, is there are huge corrosive problems with it. What's the answer to it? I mean, is there an answer to it?
Yeah, I think the answer lies in more imagination and going back to some of the original premises of democracy, even when they seem a little naive. I mean, that is what PolitiFact, the fact-checking site I mentioned, did. Their thing was, well, wait a minute, he made these promises. Let's not just throw them into the ditch because practical politics, requires departure from them. Let's instead take them even more seriously than Obama did and hold them to him. And that original idea of accountability animated their experiment. So I think that's how you get out of the savvy trap, is you go back to some of the original ideas that probably drew people into political journalism, like accountability, like will of the voter.
But I guess what I mean is, let me follow up. I guess what I mean is, what incentive does the political reporting class have to change? Is the internet making them more aggressive or more creative? I mean, are there forces at work that
are
prompting
yeah.
their change?
The force at work is this. It's simple. All the people who see through this game used to be atomized and fragmented and privately dissatisfied. Now they can connect with each other on the internet and form, in effect, a kind of counterweight or countervoice to the savvy. And the ability of the audience to organize against you and fact-check you and undermine your credibility and laugh at you is the different factor. And that, I think, will eventually corrode this system, but it's going to take a long time. And a lot of these people have a great deal invested in the savvy outlook. That is their professional knowledge. That is their stock in trade. That is what they have to sell. After all, your average political reporter, they're not an expert in healthcare. They're not an expert in economics. They don't know anything about industrial policy. What do they know? They know the political game and how it's played. That's their calling card. That is their profession.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more, and I think that's one of actually the problems with journalism. Exactly right. You've got political reporters, people who are, as you say, specialists in the church of the savvy or in the savvy, who are covering, who are leading the coverage on the debate, for instance, on healthcare and on issues. That's exactly right. Jay Rosen, he's the professor of journalism at New York University. You can find his Twitter feed, by the way, twitter.com/JRosen_NYU. That's, again, JRosen_NYU, one of the nation's leading media critics. Thank you so much, Jay, for taking the time this morning. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me. Good luck with your show.
Thanks so much. 922 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Again, that was Jay Rosen. Find his Twitter feed, twitter.com/JRosen_NYU, about the Church of the Savvy. After the break, news of the weird. A lot of news of the weird out there. A Wisconsin teenager now will need legal permission to date girls. What did he do? What did he do? And then, a Kansas mother is praising a neighbor for lifting an entire car up and saving her 6-year-old daughter. That's the assertion, that a man lifted a whole one of these cars up, one of these Superman stories, the adrenaline shot. I'll fill you in on that and more in our News of the Weird segment after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is starting to loosen up. It's been pretty light all morning long. Got a new crash northbound I-25, though, at 6th Avenue. That's been the problem all morning long, 6th Avenue. Also got this crash on the westbound side as you approach Sheridan, and you're going to run into jams all the way from Sheridan to Wadsworth, even before that, Federal, as you travel westbound towards Golden on 6th Avenue. Patchy ice on I-70 over Vail Pass and Loveland Pass. Forecast today, partly cloudy, going to be windy at times too, but fairly warm, looking for a high around 58 degrees. Cooler tomorrow with a high of 40 with possible snow in the evening. It's going to last into Wednesday morning. We could have a white Christmas. Our current downtown temperature, 46 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hey there, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah, no, this is pretty much best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Call Sales Genie today to find out how to get 100 free targeted leads. 1-800-600-9721. That's 1-800-600-9721. 1-800-600-9721.
There's our News of the Weird music. Kansas dad somehow lifts a car off a 6-year-old girl. This is out of Ottawa, Kansas, AP story. A Kansas mother's praising a neighbor as Superman after her six-year-old daughter told her he somehow found the strength to lift the car off of her. The girl escaped with minor injuries after she and neighbor Nick Harris said she was pinned under the vehicle. "He really is Superman," said the child's mother. The man, she said, saved her daughter. Ashlyn Harris, 32, said he doesn't know how he managed to lift the Mercury sedan off the child. The 5'7", 185-pound Harris said he tried later that day to lift other cars and couldn't. But somehow, adrenaline, hand of God, whatever you want to call it, I don't know how I did it. Harris was dropping off his 8-year-old daughter at school last week when he saw a driver backing her car out of a driveway and over the child. Boy. That is crazy.
You know what? You can do a lot of stuff on adrenaline.
Do you buy it? You believe
the
story?
Yes, I buy it, yeah.
You believe it?
Yes.
That's crazy, man.
I tell you what, if like you know, one of my kids is getting run over or something, I get crazy and pull that car off. Where do you find the strength within, Dave? The force. You believe in the force?
I think that is what the force is.
Yeah, exactly.
That is what the force is.
We nailed it.
Obi-Wan Kenobi in Kansas. Appleton, Wisconsin. This is another AP story. A Wisconsin teenager will need legal permission to date girls for the next 3 years after he was convicted of fleeing to Tennessee with his girlfriend in a stolen car. 19-year-old Jordan Christensen of Appleton was sentenced Friday to 1 year in jail and 3 years probation. The county judge has ordered, quote, no dating of the opposite sex without permission from your probation agent. Boy. Now you gotta get permission from your parents. Now you're a probation agent. Bummer, dude.
It is a bummer. It'd be hard to date in that kind of situation.
Seriously. Man arrested after throwing paint on a Vegas sign. Las Vegas police say they've arrested a 69-year-old man who was caught on video throwing paint on Sin City's famous sign welcoming tourists to the Las Vegas Strip. The police spokesperson said that this guy was arrested and booked into county jail on a misdemeanor of property damage. Local Fox television crew filming a segment about graffiti Friday morning caught a shirtless and barefoot man throwing red paint on the front of the Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas sign. Court splits jackpot between rival gamblers. This is out of France. A French court has split the jackpot from a casino slot machine between the woman who put the money in and the man who pulled the lever, ending months of argument between the two. So basically, let's see, this woman walked off with over 2 million euros. That's $2.9 million in March after a bet of 50 euros on a one-armed bandit only for her gambling partner, Francis, to contest her gain based on the fact that he activated the machine. A court in the southwestern city of Montpellier ruled on Tuesday that I guess, let's see, the woman who put the money in keeps 80% of the earnings, while the rest should go to the guy who pulled the lever. What do you think about that?
I think
if it's your investment of your money...
Yeah, whoever put the money in...
You know what I mean? You're the one betting.
Right.
Just because somebody pushed the button.
Hey, many times, I've like been dumping into a video poker machine. Hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Stacy, will you hit the button for me?
Well, I mean, she's your wife.
Right,
so.
But you know...
But yeah, exactly.
If I come back, if I win $1 million, that's my million.
Not Stacy's?
No. It's my investment.
She's your wife?
Well, let's say we weren't married.
Okay, right, exactly. That's
what I mean?
I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it's your money, absolutely.
Or like if your brother. Hey, Chris, my brother.
Right, there
hey,
you go.
Play the machine while I go to the bathroom real quick.
And the thing is, this guy, just for pulling the lever, gets like 400 grand. Man.
That's one nice lever pull.
That's one nice lever pull.
Yeah, right.
Boys
man.
Explore cell phone features more than girls. Differences in cell phone habits can be seen in children as young as 11, with boys more likely to use their mobiles for checking email and playing video games than girls, according to a new study. But that doesn't mean you should buy phones with fewer features for girls, says the study's author, a sociologist at the University of Alabama. The team thinks the differences in tech savvy between young boys and girls are the result of upbringing. So it's the nurture, not nature. The truth about hangovers revealed in a drunken study. If you've ever had one too many drinks during a night out, you're probably familiar with the dreaded aftermath, the hangover. Turns out your liquor choice could influence your morning headache. A new study finds that compared with vodka, if you down too much bourbon, you're likely to have a worse hangover. But when it comes to your next day activities, it doesn't matter which of the two beverages you drink, your performance is likely to be the same. The study involved 95 participants, ages 21 to 33, who were heavy drinkers, but had no history of alcohol abuse their arduous task, get drunk. And they got paid $450. So all that stuff about, you know, dark liquor gives you a worse hang. I've heard that. You've heard that, right?
Yeah, and I follow that rule. I do not drink whiskey or...
You just drink vodka?
Yeah, man, that's my booze of choice,
I mean,
I guess.
Vodka's as like a sipping drink?
Not a sipping drink.
What, you just shoot?
No, I like to mix it with stuff.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, man, like Jack and Coke, oof. Man, you know you're going to have a hangover. If I drink Jack Daniels, I'll feel like crap the next day. I know it. Guaranteed.
Yeah, Jack Daniels.
Even like if it's just a shot.
Yeah, well, you got some scientific evidence to back you up now. Final news of the weird story. Kind of a sad, but not sad story, because it doesn't end so sadly. A suicidal Manhattan woman clad only in her pajamas survived the 120-foot plunge from the Brooklyn Bridge into the icy East River early Saturday. A pair of NYPD divers found the woman conscious and treading water near the Manhattan shoreline after her leap from the world-renowned span about 7 a.m., police said. If she went into hypothermia and couldn't keep herself afloat, she would have died, says the police. The 22-year-old jumper was spotted on the bridge walkway in her pajamas by passerbys who called police just before sunrise. She strolled to the 126-year-old bridge's midpoint before making the leap. The police said she was in the 45-degree water. 45 degrees. For 5 to 10 minutes before they arrived by a helicopter, jumping into the water from the hovering chopper, she was loaded into a boat. And she was taken to Bellevue Hospital suffering from severe hypothermia. So I guess that's a good story in that it ended without her dying. But
man, adrenaline probably kept her alive in that one, too.
Yeah,
of course.
That's probably right. The 45-degree water, man.
That's not that bad, man.
Dude.
That's not that cold.
Are you crazy?
I like swimming in cold water.
How much colder?
Well, just above freezing is okay by me.
When do you do that?
I used to do it all the time down in Durango. There's this place called Cascade Falls. Dave, if you ever get a chance, I'll take you there. It's down by Durango, by Durango Mountain Lodge. We used to be Purgatory. But it's this like old limestone like canyon. But you go like in the middle of the summer, and it's all that, you know, that, and you're probably at about 11,000 feet there, maybe.
So it's just still brutal cold.
Brutal cold. And there's this place called Commitment Corner. Once you got past it, Dave, there was no turning back. You had to go all the way down the waterfalls. But it's kind of fun, like little butt slides, jump off a pool into the next pool.
But how long were you in the water for?
For probably about a half hour. 20 minutes to 30 minutes.
Come on.
Yeah. You'd come out of the water and then get up and jump into the next one. But yeah, it was like, and you know, we were talking about hangovers earlier. It was the instant hangover cure, man. As soon as you jumped into that cold water, headache gone, then you're just worried about, you know, how cold your body was. I'm trying to guess how cold that water at Cascade Creek would be. I'd say somewhere about 40 degrees.
Brutal.
Maybe,
man.
45? Yeah.
Brutal cold.
Yes,
brutal cold. Well, she lived. So that's your news of the weird. All right. After the break, we're going to get back to more of your calls. Do you think they should pass the health care bill, pass it at least to the conference committee, or vote no on it right now? That is the question. You got Fire Dog Lake, the blog, the big progressive blog, saying sign a petition, tell them to vote it all down. Howard Dean, who had said vote it down last week, now is saying, well, vote it into the conference committee and see if we can improve it. Where do you come down? 303-713-7600 or instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. You'll find our must read of the day about what all this progressive backlash is doing, and I think it's doing something really great. We got our CNN clip up there. I was on CNN on the lead story of the evening news on Friday about the drug importation bill. Right, we've been talking about that for a couple weeks now. And you'll see it caused some good progress. Some of you said, why are you giving Obama so much crap? Well, after the CNN story about the drug importation flip-flop, the White House forced to come out on Sunday to say, hey, we're gonna still support this. So I'd say that's some progress. What do you think? And then also, are you insulted by Mark Udall? Is he insulting your intelligence? On Sunday, a big story in the Denver Post. Udall going to oppose the bill to raise the debt ceiling, the federal debt ceiling, saying that he's a big budget hawk. Yet Udall's the guy who's voted for all the bank bailouts and the bloated defense budgets. Is he grandstanding? Does he think you're stupid and that you've forgotten that? What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll take your calls and get into it after a traffic update with John Turk. A
couple of accidents to avoid, Dave. Several cars involved westbound 6th Avenue west of Sheridan blocking the right-hand lane. Also a new crash on northbound I-25 right at 6th Avenue there. I'm going to run into delays heading into downtown at Downing Street Bridge. That's a pretty heavy stretch for you there. Rest of the freeway is looking really good. Traffic will be light for you this weekend because of the holiday. Also in the high country, do have some patchy ice on 70. Going to see it from Vail Pass, also over Loveland Pass. Forecast partly cloudy, windy but warm. Highs in the upper 50s. Right now, 52 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The best and most affordable way to ski Summit County this season is Arapahoe Basin's Bonus Pass. For just $359, you get unlimited skiing at A Basin, plus 5 days at Keystone or Breckenridge. For more information, call 1-888-ARAPAHOE or check out arapahoebasin.com.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19, only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Acceptance, respect, and the celebration of unconditional love, the cornerstones of Maple Star Foster Care. If you have the desire to provide a safe and healing home to a child during this giving season, become part of the Maple Star family at MapleStar.net.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. This week, get a $50 gift certificate to Smoker Friendly for only $25. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
308-0408, that's 928. 308-0408, that's get the T. There we go. You think I'm ready for Larry King? Life Change T. Changing America's health one tea bag at a time.
Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away 500 free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, and quality of life. You can call right now for one free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-291-3439. 1-800-291-3439. 1-800-291-3439.
Do you have dark circles and bags under your eyes but can't find a product that works? Then stay tuned, because the next 60 seconds will change everything. Hydralyze is a proven breakthrough that has shown amazing results in people with dark circles and under-eye puffiness due to aging, fatigue, even heredity. And for a limited time, we're looking for 100 women in this listening area to try it free. Just call 1-800-600-2125. The first 100 callers are guaranteed a risk-free trial. So call now. If lines are busy, try again. The proven ingredients in Hydralyze help erase the appearance of bags and dark circles. The results are so impressive, women who've tried it say it's life-changing. And now it's being offered free to this station's first 100 callers. Hydralyze is not available in stores, so call immediately to see if you're one of the first 100 callers. And try it before you buy it. Phone lines are open now. Call 1-800-600-2125 for your free trial. 1-800-600-2125.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm talking about health care this morning. I'm sure it's on everybody's mind because they got 60 votes to move the process forward. The question for you is whether you think that's a good idea. Do you think it's a good idea for them to move this forward? 303-713-7600 is the number. And Mark Udall making headlines this weekend saying he may vote against raising the debt ceiling, the federal government's limit on how much debt it can take on. They need to raise this to keep the government running. And I read this, and I know he expected everybody to be like, oh, that's great. Mark Udall's taking this great stand against overspending. Except, wait a minute. Wasn't Mark Udall the guy who voted for all the bank bailouts and the guy who voted for the bloated Pentagon budgets? Oh, yeah, it's the same Mark Udall. So what do you think? You think he's taking a principled stand here? You think he's treating you like you're an idiot? 303-713-7600. Check our website, am760.net. If you want to send us an instant message, see our we got a bunch of video up there today. We got video of Howard Dean on Meet the Press talking about health care. some snippets there, the key snippets. Also, this CNN piece that led the Friday evening news. I was in it for a little snippet there about drug importation and the White House flip-flopping on drug importation, allowing you to buy prescription drugs at lower prices. The White House lobbied against that after Barack Obama promised to support it. And the good news is that the media attention that it got, and I know a lot of you were angry at me for criticizing the president over this. Well, the media attention it got forced David Axelrod, the top White House aide, to go on TV on Sunday and say, no, we support this. We will support it in the future. Now, you can say, well, you know, why should we trust Axelrod? Why should we trust Obama after he flip-flopped on this and helped crush the legislation last week? And I agree with you there. They don't have much credibility, but it does show that when we push, there is a value to pushing. Richie in Denver. Richie, you're on AM 760.
Dave, how are you, man?
All right, man.
Hey, listen, and this is coming from a Tommy Pinko leftist for life here. You know, the problem with the left is this, and it's always been the problem with the left in this country. They think that each thing is the end of the war, like Roe versus Wade was the end of the battle. Now, the Republicans knew that was only the first battle in the war, and they keep it up. Obama, the problem with the left is they thought Obama was the end of the leftist movement. He's only the beginning. This is the very beginning. You put the pressure on them, but you don't take your ball and run home and vote Green Party. That's ridiculous. You have to understand that if you are on the left in this life, it is a lifelong battle that never, never ends, because that's how the Republicans look at it. You don't just think, oh, he didn't do this and we quit. Of course you vote for that bill and get it out and move it over. And you look for people like Grayson and Bernie Sanders and you support them, you know, but you don't turn your back and take your ball and go home. What's the alternative? Giving it back to the Republicans? That's ridiculous. The left always shoots themselves in the foot in this country instead of understanding you got to keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, yes, you're right that you got to keep fighting. But I do think it's not unreasonable to say that unless these politicians feel a punishment for doing wrong, they will not ever do right. I mean, there is the carrot and the stick approach, right? Right now, it's only the carrot. It's only, you know, just keep saying that what they're doing is great no matter what they do, and they don't respect you, right? It's all the old Machiavelli thing.
You keep doing what you're doing, what everybody's doing. You keep the pressure on, telling them it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. But, you know, there is a point of where you have to look at the options in this life, you know? And anybody who thought, you know, Obama, short of a revolution in this country, you know, Obama, anybody who's political savvy at all knew that Obama was going to just move the dime a little bit to the left. He wasn't going to take it. I mean, he was talking like a socialist when he was running. And he, you know, that was what the Republicans were screaming about. You had to know he was going to be up against the battle. You know, and of course you put the pressure on. You
Yeah, but I just don't want to absolve. I agree with you. But I don't want to absolve the guy, right? I mean, it's like,
no.
Look, if you campaign, as you said, I mean, I don't think he campaigned as a socialist, but he campaigned as an out-and-out progressive. And if you, my point is, you know, I know that there's this idea that, oh, once you're president, you know, you can't get the things done that you promised. And, you know, I think that's a construction. I think it's a media construction. We just talked to Jay Rosen about that, about how that's a media construction. I mean, my point here is this. It's very hard to get elected president. If you can get elected president as an out-and-out progressive, then you should be able to govern as an out-and-out progressive because you've already done the hardest part, which is actually get elected. And I heard, who is it? It was last week, right? We talked to, I think it was Elliot Spitzer who mentioned this, who said, look, there's two ways you can do things. You can either play the inside game. You can either play within the parameters of the inside game in Washington, or you can go to the people. And look, Russ Feingold's out there today saying, look, Barack Obama did not go to the people and did not fight hard for something like the public option. That's Russ Feingold, what he's saying. And I think he's absolutely right. So Richie, I'm with you. You got to push, and you got to push, and you got to push. And I think there's a value. I think there's a huge value from those who are saying, vote this bill down right now. Now you may say, no, I think we should pass this and move the process forward. My only point is this. When you step back, if there's enough voices right now on the progressive side of the equation saying, vote this bill down right now, and the bill ultimately passes no matter what. At least that opposition was registered to create the political space and the political pressure for them to revisit what's wrong with this bill as soon as possible.
But it's too early to quit the Democratic Party, and that's what a lot of
I think it's too early to quit the Democratic Party. I think that's right, but I think that people are thinking about where they should go and what they can do, and I think that that process is healthy. I mean, you're right. We got a long way to go until the next election. You and I can definitely agree on that.
Yep.
All right, man. Have a good day, man.
You too, man.
Take care. Let's go to Bob in Boulder. Bob, you're on AM 760. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to follow on what the other guy was saying about, continuing the fight. And the disappointment with Obama. I was a huge Obama supporter, gave money, gave time, and I feel like I was, somewhat duped in progress and hope and change. And this health care bill is a classic example of that. I was reading it's a really great article by Maggie Mahar, who knows a lot about health care, and was talking about how few people this health care bill is really going to help, and sort of the false illusion that, it doesn't exclude for pre-existing condition. Like, for example, it can charge 5-6 times more
yep.
for pre-existing condition.
Yep.
So when push comes to shove, think about who this thing is really going to help. It's going to help the health insurance companies. And I've already seen the Obama spin machine. Once this thing gets passed, they're going to be out there talking about how they brought change to the American people and blah, 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 blah. And the truth of the matter is, not that it's exactly more of the same, but it's a lot of the same. And so I think that, like Russ Feingold, you really got to stand up and you really got to fight this stuff, because when push comes to shove, Obama's a politician.
So if you were a senator, would you vote yes or no?
I would probably vote no. I'm really concerned about letting this thing pass. It puts kind of another arrow in Obama's quiver, and he's what he's going to say in the State of the Union address, how much progress he's made.
Right, and it's not real progress.
It's not real progress. Yeah, exactly. So I think at some point in time, you really got to stand up and say that.
Yeah, and again, I know I sound like a broken record this morning, but the more people who say that, if and when this bill passes, the more political space and pressure we create to say that it was not enough and the Congress needs to come back immediately and plug all of the holes that are in this bill. And now I know people say, well, Sirota, you're crazy. That'll never happen. Never say never. Remember, Medicare was voted down repeatedly before it was ever passed. Hey, Bob, thanks for the call, man.
Yep, you bet.
Tom in Denver. Tom, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David. I agree with the people that say that we should vote it down. Not necessarily right now, but when it comes out of conference, if it doesn't have a public option, because Barack Obama is not a progressive. And for the progressive wing of the Democratic Party to win, we need to show him that we have the power. And the way we have the power is to vote against it. All we need is one or two senators to vote against it, and he'll have to come back and fix it, because he needs to fix it.
You know what? And I wrote a post over the weekend as well, and folks can find it at am760.net. It's the must-read of the day, which is that one of the assumptions that I think is behind this artificial timetable. It's not that we don't need to pass health care immediately. We do. But remember, most of the benefits, or at least many of the benefits, don't happen until 2014. So this idea that there's this rush now to pass a bad bill, the assumption has been that they will never come back to, if this bill doesn't pass, it's do or die. They will never come back to the table. That is a manufactured assumption. You have just outlined how it is a manufactured assumption, which is that the Obama administration and Senate Democrats have so staked their political futures on this that they would have to come back to the table immediately if this bill went down right now. I mean, and by the way, the same people who are saying that this is the last shot, right? The same people saying that are the people who would get to decide whether it's the last shot. If Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, says this is our only shot, Harry Reid gets to decide the Senate schedule. So Harry Reid is really saying, I'm only going to allow this to be the only shot. So when you hear Democratic politicians say this is the only shot or the last shot, don't think of it as them stating reality to you. It's a threat, right? They are threatening you. They are saying, if you don't support this, we're never coming back to this. And I don't believe it. I just don't believe it because, as you say, they have bought in too much. They would have to come back to the drawing board. Hey, Tom, thanks for the call, man.
You're welcome.
951 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're getting a lot of your instant messages here. I got this one. The caller's right. Howard Dean pointed this out last week. Democrats are not tough enough. We have to primary them. That's one instant message we just got. Here's another one. Much of Pfizer's Lipitor output is made here in Puerto Rico. So we got a listener in Puerto Rico. The island has become a major production center for a number of U.S. pharmaceutical manufacturers. This person talking about how we should allow importation, how we already do allow importation. We must soon select and elect a government that's big enough and powerful enough to protect us from these deregulated, monopolist, corporatized vampires. So we're getting a lot of your instant messages. You can always instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Send us an instant message. You'll find our must-read. You'll find the video from Howard Dean, the video from CNN's big piece leading the Friday news. I suggest you watch it. It was it's about an issue that this radio station, I think, has been leading the fight on, this issue of allowing Americans to buy prescription drugs from other countries. We'll take more of your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
That's a ridiculous idea, Sirota. Seriously, why buy, you know, we... Bananas? Okay. Food from other countries? Fine.
Medicines?
Drugs? No.
You know, I put it this way in one column. We can somehow we're allowed to import hepatitis-laced vegetables from Mexico. Remember the Chi-Chi's outbreak?
Yep.
That was from vegetables from Mexico. Somehow we're allowed to import hepatitis-laced Mexico's from hepatitis-laced vegetables from Mexico, but we can't import the medicines to treat us for how sick we get from that from Canada.
Yeah. No, it's... hypocrisy, man. That's
total.
What we're here to do is expose it.
That's right, man.
You know? All right. Well, back to traffic. One crash northbound I-25 at 6th Avenue. Stop and go jams, though, kick in at University right there at DU. Pretty long stretch there for some stop and go. Rest of the drive. Really nice for us right now in the 50s and 60s on most of the major highways. You will see a lot of surface street action today. A lot of people on vacation, cruising around, checking out the malls, getting last-minute shopping done, but pretty easy morning of traffic today. Your forecast, partly cloudy and windy at times, but fairly warm with a high of 58 degrees. Good day to spank Whitey today. Cooler tomorrow, high of 40, possible snow in the evening. Our current downtown temperature is 55 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you want the best price when you sell your gold, it's easy. Just take it to Fast Cash. At Fast Cash, you'll get 40% more for your gold in cash and on the spot. So don't get ripped off. Get a quote before you sell and get what your gold's really worth. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
If you like listening to music on your computer, listen to this. Now you can hear all your iTunes playlists, internet radio stations, sports, and more in a different room with the new Bose Wave Music System SoundLink. No need to run wires. A small USB plug-in sends audio wirelessly from your computer to the system. This compact system plays CDs and AM/FM radio too, and it sounds much bigger than its size. The Wave Music System now plays music from your computer wirelessly. Check it out. It's only from Bose.
In national news, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic U.S. silver coins. At the end of this broadcast, we'll provide a toll-free number you can call to receive free information and a free DVD. Millions of classic U.S. silver coins were damaged in circulation, and millions more were melted down during World War I for their precious silver content, leaving relatively few in existence. But a hoard of shining, brilliant, uncirculated silver coins, saved from destruction, were amassed and stored away in vaults. Today, in a startling announcement, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited quantity of these shimmering U.S. silver coins with a historical legacy beyond their silver value. Available on a first-come, first-served basis by calling 1-800-400-1841. To receive the free collector's DVD, call now. The number again is 1-800-400-1841. That's 1-800-400-1841.
9:55 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Liz in Denver. Liz, you're on AM 760.
Hey, thanks for speaking truth to power every day. And Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah as well, although Hanukkah just ended.
Happy Kwanzaa and all of that.
There you go.
Hey, listen, first of all, I want to know, will you please get Sam Cedar on with you?
Oh, I'd love to. Sam's a friend of mine.
Yeah, I used to listen to you guys a long time ago.
Yeah, for sure. I'll try to get him on, for sure.
Cool. And also, can you find out if Congress will have to adopt the same policy that they're trying to pass for us for health care? Or do they get to keep the one that they have?
That's a good question. I'm almost positive they get to keep the one that they have.
See, and I think people should be driving that home every day.
Yeah.
And I am with the rest of the callers and kind of mixed about voting now or getting rid of it, because they have a way of, you know, not getting back to things when they do pass it. So with that in mind, I think we should vote it down and insist on the policy health plan that they have.
Yeah, so you're of the belief that if they voted it down, they couldn't walk away from it, but once they pass it, they can.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm 52, and in my lifetime, I've never seen this the way Congress works. And I think Barack has allowed things to happen so we can see who our representatives really are and what kind of jobs they really do, you know, on their own accord, without being coerced, you know, caressed or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't like what I see, and so we get a chance to vote them out. And I think it's just a ploy. I'm not happy with Barack, but I think it's a ploy for him to, you know, let us see how our representatives act and think, and then get them out.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people are going to be thinking exactly about that as this election comes closer. That's absolutely true. Hey, thanks for the call, Liz. Really appreciate it. Robert in Denver. Robert, you got about 30 seconds. Fire away.
Basically, last time we got this close was during when Kennedy and Nixon were going back and forth, and Kennedy wanted some sort of health care reform. Nixon wanted health care reform. Kennedy wanted this all-or-nothing universal health care mentality. We didn't get anything. Got to Clinton, and now we're at this point. I think we should, you know, vote for it now, rehash it, and, you know, through legislation, just like our last caller said, through voting, and get it squared away and get it fixed as an ongoing process, like your previous caller said, about, you know, not taking the ball home while you're playing, keep fighting, but also master the gray.
Yeah, there's a case to be made for it. I think both sides have a good case. I also think that registering our opposition to this right now helps us ensure that we improve it later. All right, that's it for the show. Tomorrow, the one senator who voted against Ben Bernanke, the one Democrat, will have an exclusive interview with him. That's tomorrow.
If you have been in your home for 5 years or more, and you're in the market for a new home, you are now eligible for a $6,500 tax credit. The first-time homebuyer $8,000 tax credit has been extended to the beginning of June. No payments until 2010. You want to save money for the holidays? Call American Financing now, and you don't have to make a payment until 2010. 303-695-7000. If you didn't take advantage of historically low interest rates earlier this year, here's your chance. If you're not going to stay in your home for more than 5 years, take advantage of the low rates with an FHA 5-year fixed ARM. Rates are in the low fours. Get a quick response from a human being at American Financing, not some computer-generated loan from an invisible national 800 number. American Financing's mortgage loan officers are salaried employees, not 100% commission like many lenders out there. Get pre-qualified over the phone in an hour and close in about 7 days. 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Walk-ins are welcome at 225 and Parker Road. AmericanFinancing.net.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.